Yeah, I don't know. That's
something about good morning. Good morning, honorable members. How are you? The Canadians will be surprised to see you different. Don't drop it. I won't mention, don't drop it. But we're just waiting for the sound and vision people to come and fix this the whole thing here for purposes of what is it called? Yes, for purposes of the presentation. So please bear with us. Understand that they are on their way to set up the sound. I see there's water now and drink. No tea. What is that? Outside. Well, understand that there's tea on the passage. Well, here are the people that arrived. When I say they, I mean she's two people, so it's a.
Thank you.
Isn't that you're ready now? It's all system go. May I take the opportunity to welcome you, honorable member, this morning for coming, and our apologies again for starting with our meeting at the place. But now, really, everything has been sorted out. We have our guest from National Gallery, led by DBG Donaldson, my writer. Yes. You welcome with a team. We have, remember, we have two meetings. First meeting is for the first quarter report that we are scheduled for between now and 1. And at 2, we have another meeting for the Department for National Treasury and Department of Women and Children. But I just want to advise that I see the Department of Women and Children and People with Disabilities already here. So if we, the business like, can finish the two meetings by 2 o'clock. But if we want, we can wait for starting at 2. But all I'm trying to say is that everyone is here. If we finish with the first court meeting, we are able to go to the next meeting immediately, which I would prefer that we do it that way, so that members can do other things in the afternoon. I hope that we agreed. If we are agreed, may I invite National Treasury to address us? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Let me introduce George Tembo, who is come down particularly for the discussion on the Women, Children, and People with Disabilities vote. He is in our General Government Services Administration Chief Directorate. Senator Lepleiki, known our Parliamentary Office. Mr. Simon Creswell. No ghost this morning. And Simon Creswell, I'd like to introduce to the committee. He is responsible for the format of the new report, and so we thought it'd be useful for him to hear comments of the committee. As the committee knows, we have adopted a revised format for this quarterly briefing this year. It is still a very lengthy document, 300 pages or 200 pages or thereabouts, but contains a lot of information, and we would of course welcome suggestions if there are ways in which we could improve that. And then Dr. Mark Fletcher, who heads our work on health and social development, is also with us this morning. This is the overview report on the first quarter of the 2012-13 financial year, and the first slide. Thank you. We've lost the picture there. The first slide is just a reminder of the structure of the national budget. Total appropriation of 964 billion this year, of which 412 billion, so just under half, is really what is under scrutiny today. So it's worth remembering there that about a third of the national budget goes to provinces in the form of the provincial equitable share, another 75 billion to provinces in various conditional grants. Local governments receive a total of about 80 billion, just under 80 billion out of the national appropriation, and state debt costs accounts for just under 90 billion. So that's the overall structure of the appropriation. $540 billion is appropriated through the Appropriation Act and is under the control of national departments. That includes the national spending share and also additional grants to provinces and the municipal and the various municipal grants. So that $540 billion is broken down here, and this is just an interesting reminder of how large a share of national spending goes into transfers and subsidies of various kinds. So just over two-thirds of the national departmental appropriation of $540 billion is accounted for by transfers to municipalities and provinces, and social grant payments, social assistance grants, those are the largest parts of these transfer allocations, but of course there are many others as well, transfers through provinces for the human settlements grants, transfers to universities, and various transfers to non-governmental organizations, subsidies to businesses, and so on. Compensation of employees, the salary bill of the national government is just under 20% of the total. It is, of course, a much larger share of provincial spending. Government personnel spending is dominated by provincial employment in education, health in particular. Capital spending, direct capital spending on buildings and purchases of equipment is a small part of the national budget, just 3%. There are also categories for paying for financial assets. Those numbers go up and down. Financial assets payments include, in recent years, the transfers to ESCOM, but there are no large items in that category in this budget. This is a breakdown between departments, and you can see there how the Social Development Department, which includes social assistance grants, just over $100 billion budget for the grants program, is the largest departmental vote. Treasury, of course, looks after a larger share of spending because it is responsible for the provincial equitable share and debt service costs, but those are not shown here. Those are budgeted for as direct charges. Other large departments, corporate governance and traditional affairs, about 10% of the total, the health budget, higher education and training, and the large correctional services, police, defense, and justice budgets in the protection services function cluster. And so it's those larger departments that are the focus of this report, and so I'll be showing a few pictures of the spending outcomes for the first quarter of the large departments, but the more detailed document report that that has been circulated in the committee has details of all votes. National government spent $116 billion in the first quarter. That's just over 21% of the total for the year. It's quite a bit less than what was planned, and so I'm going to be going through some of the reasons for the deviations, somewhat lower, about $13 billion less actually drawn down on the National Revenue Fund by national departments in the first quarter than planned. Remember here that the plan expenditure refers to the approved drawdowns that departments submit to the Treasury, and that plan drawdown has to accommodate their spending. So it will always tend to be a little higher than their actual spending. Departments don't want to put themselves in the embarrassing position of not having cash in their accounts. Nonetheless, that gap of $13 billion is quite large, so it needs to be explained. This is broadly in line with previous year's patterns, and there you can see the accumulation in the graph on the left. You see the accumulation in each quarter in 2010-11 and 2011-12, the last two financial years. You can see a broadly stable pattern, but the tendency is for the drawdowns in the first quarter to be a bit below actual planned spending, and that's the position this year. A slightly different version of the numbers is in the graph on the right-hand side, and there you can see the actual rand variation and the percentage variance for first, second, third, and fourth quarters, and you can see the tendency is for the variation to be highest in the first quarter. It is indeed highest this first quarter, but it is considerably higher than in previous years. If you look at those 3 weeks, first quarter 2 years ago, first quarter last year, and first quarter of this year, just over 10% of planned spending. So that is an unusually large variation in this quarter. It is accounted for mainly by transfers and subsidies. That's not a surprise. Transfers and subsidies, 68% of the total appropriation, and that's the gray part of those bars. The red part is goods and services. So the main sources of underspending are on goods and services and transfers and subsidies, payments for capital assets. Capital spending is always low in the first quarter, and so that also contributes to the $13 billion or so of underspending. Here are the main reasons for these deviations. The biggest deviation is in the Department of Social Development, and this is a result of the fact that the most of the social grant payments at the beginning of the month of July were not recorded in June spending, and they usually are. And so we are describing this as an accounting technicality. It's not underspending in any real practical sense. It simply reflects the fact that about $6 billion in social grant payments, which were administered by SASA, were not accounted for in the month of June. I haven't looked into the details of this. It probably has to do with whether the day was a Monday or a Tuesday or a Saturday. So that's an important part of that large deviation. It really is just an accident of how the account went through this year and is not underspending in any real sense. So the way this works is let's explain.
The reason for this actually is that the Department of Social Development makes an advance. Roughly about $67 billion is spent on social grants per month. And the Department of Social Development... And the Department of... And the Department of Social Development makes those funds available to SASA as an organization who then makes those payments through the payment contractors. But the funds need to be made available as an advance prior to them actually being spent. And because of the new way that the support has been produced, that deviation between the drawings and actual spending is showing in this way as a deviation, but it's not a genuine difference in spending. Spending on grants is actually very strong this year, very stronger even than the last year, and we'll find a way of presenting this differently in the next quarter report. The $6 billion is not an underspending, no.
Yes, that's right. Half of that is simply the fact that that $7 billion, which normally goes through, didn't go through by the end of this, by the time these numbers put together. All right. Then there were also delays in transfers in several other departments, human settlements, transfers money to municipalities and provinces.
Maybe I should just wait for questions for further clarity on this. Let me wait for the question.
Yes, there are slides on each vote, so it will probably be easier once we get to that. So this is just a summary. The other significant transfers that were delayed in the first quarter are on the human settlement, rural development and land reform, and health vote, and that indicates some of the specific programs in which actual transfers were a bit lower than was planned. This is the breakdown between in economic categories again. In goods and services, the lower spending is spread across many departments. The largest is defense and military veterans, a lower receipt of invoices, payments to municipalities for municipal services than they were expecting. Under capital spending, the big delay in spending is in the school infrastructure, school building program that the Department of Basic Education is responsible for, that is administered through the Development Bank and is addressing backlogs in school building. There have also been some delays in specific water projects. That's not unusual. The first quarter is typically a slow quarter in spending on big infrastructure projects. Spending on compensation employees is broadly as expected. Here, the main deviation to note is slightly higher spending than expected in police and so on. The police vote, the compensation of employees is certainly close to its limit, and they are at risk of overspending. The next slide goes through some of the deviations and some comparisons with previous years. I'm not going to go through all of the numbers here, but in the second last column, the yellow highlighting, you can't really see the yellow highlighting there, but you can see the numbers that are highlighted. Virtually no spending at all out of cooperative governance and traditional affairs as budget in the first quarter. There is a good reason for that, and that is that the financial year of municipalities, which begins in July, so begins in our second quarter, is when the transfer to municipalities begin. So this year's budget on the COGTA vote for transfers to municipalities only really takes effect from the second quarter, and so there is very little spending on those transfers in the first quarter. That is by intent, and is not unusual. Spending in the energy vote is also quite a lot below norm, 13% of spending versus 20-25% average for the first quarter. And so there is slow spending here on some of the electrification and related programs. The solar water geyser program has not spent its funding yet, and that's something to keep an eye on. Similarly, in human settlements, you can see about 14% of the budget spent by the end of the first quarter is at low. Water affairs, about 15%. There are some votes in which spending is ahead of plan. Statistics South Africa spent a bit more on goods and services, some of its survey activities. The census data work has gone ahead of plan, we're told, and so there's been a bit more spending on that than was anticipated. But of course that is spending that phases out as the analysis is completed. Energy, some specific transfers were made ahead of planned amounts. There's not any particular concern here. So you can see some of the entities that received their transfers earlier than expected, and the National Resource Management Program of Environmental Affairs. These are spending programs that include their employment programs where the level of activity is high and the environmental affairs is certainly on track to spend fully its EPWP and social responsibility allegations, and is catching up on some backlogs from the previous year. And there was a large payment made that was not budgeted for, which is the VAT charge on the delivery of the SA Agalas II, the new polar research vessel. It was delivered and has commenced operation, and the large VAT payment has to be made and will be provided for in the adjustments appropriation, which will be tabled shortly. I mentioned governance and traditional affairs, a somewhat unusual situation here where the transfers to municipalities only happen in the second quarter, and so there you can see in the graph how the spending in the first quarter is a very small percentage of the total allocation of this vote, 500 million or so, just 1% of the budget, because the equitable share and conditional grant to municipalities only flow in July. There is also a lag in spending because community work program allocations didn't take place or transfers didn't take place in the first quarter. But this is not because the work has been slowed. The community work program is continuing at the same level of activity or continuing to expand its activity this year. The administrative process of verifying claims from the agents that administer this program on behalf of the department were not completed by the end of the quarter. On the National Treasury vote, which has 4.5 billion other than the direct charges, 21% of that spent by the end of the first quarter. So that's about 300 million below the planned amount, mainly because of lower claims or claims that were delayed and only went through in July for the post-retirement medical benefits, civil and military pensions, contributions to funds. These are programs where it's hard to predict exactly when the claims come through, so I don't think there's any particular reason for concern there. Social development, we've already talked about. This is a very large part of the budget, and you can see that the spending level is not below the shared 25%, the equal share for the quarter. It was in fact about 25% of the total. Usually in this quarter, 4 months worth rather than 3 months worth of grants go through because the grants advance, as Dr. Bishop mentioned, for July go through in the first quarter. It didn't go through, or largely didn't go through, and so there is that 5 or 6 billion technical difference, and we would expect that to be made up in the next quarter. So we'd expect the next quarter's number to be about 35 billion. The health vote has spent 6.6 billion, so this is quite a large vote. Plan spending was a bit higher than that, and transfers to provinces for the HIV and AIDS conditional grant and the health infrastructure grant were a bit lower than expected. And so again, we would expect those payments to pick up in the second and third quarters. Basic education, 4 billion, 25% spent by the end of the first quarter. Planned expenditure was a little higher than that, and the delay is mainly because of slow progress in the school's infrastructure backlog grant. So this is the school building program administered by the Development Bank, in which we know there was a much lower than planned spending last year. We're now beginning to see the cash flow, so we will see that spending program pick up during the course of this year. Correctional services, just under 4 billion of the total spent, so a lag of about 400 million. For various reasons, there are still large numbers of vacancies in this department, outstanding invoices, so it looks like some delay in financial management contributing to underspending in the correctional services vote. Human settlements, 3.6 billion is 14% of the total, so that's quite a low percentage relative to the amount that's available for the year, and mainly because of slower transfers to provinces. There is a restructuring grant, and the municipalities responsible for those programs have not yet met the conditions that are set for the grant in the Division of Revenue Act, and so the funds are not flowed yet. So we need to see better progress in the housing human settlements activities in the second and third quarters. Rural development and land reform, this is also quite a large vote, and has spent about 18% of its total. There are some delays in the restitution and land reform grants. These are administratively quite demanding programs, and you can see in the pattern for previous years that there has tended to be quite a high level of underspending on this vote. Water affairs. Just three or four other departments I'm going to show numbers for. 15%. This is one of the lowest percentages on the budget. Planned spending was to be just over $2 billion, and there are several specific projects in which there have been delays. There have been issues to sort out in the planning and management of the Duhok Dam and its distribution pipeline network. It's quite a complex water supply system that covers quite a large area and involves several specific activities, the building of a dam, improvements to other water control infrastructure, pipeline and canal, and there have been delays in completing that work, and indeed a process of review of the financing arrangements and tariff structure of this program that the Treasury has assisted in, that has just completed its work. Science and Technology has spent over a quarter of its budget, so it tends to make transfers in the first quarter to the Science Council. In fact, the planned spending was a bit higher than that, and so some projects have gone a little more slowly than expected, but there's no single reason for that. There are a number of grant programs and research activities of Science Council that in which we'll see activity pick up during the course of the year. So this is a summary of the largest contributors to the lag behind actual spending and planned spending in social development, human settlement, water affairs, rural development and land reform, health and basic education. The details are in the longer report. I should say, by way of confusion, Mr. Chair, this is just the first quarter. There is always quite a bit of variation in the numbers in the first quarter. We get a better picture of the likely outcome for the year from the second and third quarter numbers. Next week, the Minister will table the adjustment appropriation, and so we will see some revisions to numbers in the revised breakdown that departments put together for the adjusted estimates that is tabled in the House. I think we all know that the wage settlement this year was higher than what was budgeted for, and so compensation of employees will exceed budget allocations in departments unless there is additional money. So we should expect to see additional money for compensation of employees, particularly for provinces, but also in national departments, in the adjusted appropriations next week. Particular concern in respect of remuneration spending in police, where recruitment of new personnel has had to be curtailed in order to keep within budget. Post grants are in line with the expected expenditure, despite that $6 billion deviation, but we would certainly see some signals, but this is just the first order, some signals that there may be underspending on infrastructure projects in housing, land restitution, and in schools infrastructure this year. The first quarter does raise some concerns, and these are certainly under scrutiny and under discussion between Treasury officials and the departments responsible. And then another specific reminder, quite a large amount, the VAT payment on the boat, which will have to be dealt with in next week's adjustments appropriation. Thank you, Chair. That's a summary of a lot of information. I'm happy to take questions and comments. So.
Thank you very much. Ella, can you hear me?
Okay. Are you all right?
Excuse me?
Okay. My ears have been waiting for some grant towards eating. You're finished speaking. You're not talking. You're not mentioning a word about it. It's fine. We'll leave it there. And then my friend, by the way, I didn't introduce the acting DG for Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities, Ms. Mpeni, is sitting there. And she's a normal customer, you know. I don't hear anything about the department here, that is overspending, you know. It will be a great improvement, you know, but it was not mentioned.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Donaldson. You know, in the beginning you mentioned maybe something important that I think that we need to address, but
I didn't mention it. We have had a discussion as a committee about it, which is the issue of how we want the quarterly report to be tabled. We have a discussion. I'm not sure if during this it will come up, but I think as a committee we have had some discussions. Maybe we could be finalizing, but it's something that we are really looking at, because we would like to really see a situation where the format is a little bit more readable, more friendly, you know, to ordinary people to understand, you know, out there. That's one thing. You also mentioned a lot of what you call understanding, for whatever reason. And I'm sure the members will raise, you know, we have MTM. Now, it makes us ask questions whether is it working, the MTF, or not working. Or should we go back to the apartheid time when people didn't know how much was going to be allocated, and so that there's no plan. But I think that we intended addressing it more, maybe when we deal with MTDPS as well, something that we really need to address. But to us, it's a call for concern. thank you. Honourable Member, there you are. We have the presentation. Any comments, Honourable Member? Start today.
Yeah, not here. I just want to start because I've got a flu, so I'd rather start and then listen for all the duration of the discussion. But I want to ask the Treasury to speak to what they have not raised in the report. Oh, just waiting for them to finish. They have not raised anything with regard to the job fund. Now, in the previous, there's been plan and plan for it. If my memory is not leaving me behind, it was in the order of 5 billion. So they didn't quite say anything about that today. Now, if I look at it, there's also something about the MOU, DBSA, signing of the MOU. If you look at the previous other quarters, there was anticipation, planning to sign, and so it's almost like a moving kind of target. I just want to find out from them what is the actual problem with that. Then the other general question, I know that the DDG is going extinct. In fact, is making a case about the third quarter expenditure, which is quite not a problem because there will be some variation, but what you see is not quite meeting the plan target by various departments, which is target planning is not an accident, it's not a once-off thing, it's a programmatic thing that is informed by the plan, which is an annual plan, performance plan. So I want to understand. The last year there was under expenditure, I think, to the order of 11 billion. When we were presented from quarter to quarter, there seems to be those kind of reassuring. There will be the transfer will happen, so the second quarter will be better, the third quarter will be better, the fourth. But when you look at the trend, nothing actually improved. And I'm not necessarily knocking Treasury, but I think we need to get to some frankness some frankness with the facts and the information. To the extent that we as the committees have the ability to engage with the departments on the, where they're also using other portfolio committees for the underperformance. Because it's underperformance is actually go to the issue of where the actual delivery, the value of money issue. Lots of dumping that happened at the end of financial year. So I'm here generally just, I know you said you're listening, you didn't hear something. I want to speak out of the court. So I think that I'm just calling for a bit of a frankness and kind of openness in terms of this. Because sometimes the narrative and reasons that are presented and prepared for and given to the Treasury are not convincing. I mean, we have gone to the to this issue about water affairs. We have paid a visit a couple of times. We have met with the department a couple of times. They have told us about the issue of whether it's a B plan in terms of funding model. They have given holders of, but all that was trying to is the reassurance that don't worry, by the end of the financial year, we would have made this kind of progress. And but when you look at the end of the financial year, our concerns are proven to be correct. So DDG, speaking to, let's just be frank about it. What's happening with all these other issues that indeed you didn't quite report on? I may be putting you offside, but these are the information you have at your fingertips. Let's just hear them so that we are able to apply our mind to the totality of, if you look at the priority department, priority of government, and you look at a spending pattern that is worrying. So, Chair, that's really with my digital voice this morning. I am just saying, let's cut to the chase. Let's really not speak in the language. English is a nice language. But let us be straight down the line. And let's hear it.
Your voice has just got to do that delay the effect of what? Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Sapchapande.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I just want to make an observation first, Chair. You referred to, shall we not go back to the old days, you know, where they received money without knowing how much they will receive. I must tell you, it's not actually... It was not that way. It happened. And Mr. Donaldson, the DG, will remember when he joined the former Central Economic Advisory Services at that stage, me and him, that we've had a Department of State Expenditure at that stage, separately from the Department of Finance, where all departments came to actually, if you can use the word, to battle for their budgets. You know, they have to please and explain for everything. They were under in... let's call it scrutiny from members and officials from the Department of State Expenditure. So at the end of the day, when they received their money, they received the absolute minimum to fulfill their needs. And you know, they spent accordingly. And if they did not spend, then it was difficult for them next year to obtain money and to, you know, to battle for their budget. But I want to ask the DG chairperson, I think what we experienced lately is that yeah, the DG. What I think what happened at present is that there are departments and they've got many departments got their planning in place. There's a national policy, there's a departmental policy, government policy, targets are set, you know, and they also did lobby for their money. They please and explain for their money. But I think at the end of the day, the problem occurs with a capacity problem. And capacity due to many delays, you can't finger or pinpoint what the real part of capacity. And I would like to know from the Treasury how they're going to deal with this, you know, the way forward for the days and the time to come. Because we experience delays in tendering processes. We experience delays sometimes in the contractors to deliver. And we know the experiences we had with water affairs, you know, problems within capacity, even in contractors and subcontractors, et cetera, et cetera. So at some stage, we must make sure that in the planning process for the different departments, they do have the capacity and that they will fulfill those needs, and they will actually at the end of the day reach the goals before the end of the financial year. And then of course we must also remember that many a time it happens that the job is not finished yet. They started in the financial year with a certain project, but at the end of the financial year, before real payments or the final payments can happen, the job is not finished yet. And that also, you know, increased the amount of the unspent money. So there are different reasons, but the concern is it increased in bulk, it increased. And I would like to know from Treasury, how are we going to identify more specifically the different reasons in different departments, because they're also different from department to department, and how are we going to address it? Because I want to get back to the point where if you take money out of the economy, you know, and budget for income, you have to put burden on those people who actually allocated money to the risks, and those are the taxpayers. And if you take money, or if you put a burden on them, and you did not spend the money to put the money back in the economy, it is not good for any economic growth. So that is, you know, that we also took that into consideration, that if we take money away, you have to reverse the money as well back into the economy. And I just want to know from Treasury, because it will also make it very much more easy for the Minister of Finance in the appropriation area to make sure, you know, what we take, we get back and translate it, you know, reverse it also into the production process, and to overcome these delays in the whole process in the future.
No, thank you. I'm smiling because I'm appreciating this economic, what you call it, a lesson, you know, which must further, what you call it, respond to, you know. Okay, I'm noting Honorable Mfulo, Honorable Swart, Honorable Snaff.
When I'm listening to the report of the first quarter, I can see that what I pick up is that there is no spending on, you know, they're not spending according to their projections. All departments. Now, and also now, if they're not spending according to their projections, from the department itself, what damage is there? Because for me, there is still a damage. And how are they going to address? Because now all the departments are underspending. They are spending aligned to, their spending should be aligned to what they project, but it's not like that. Everybody is underspending. Maybe I need to propose that to me. In the department itself, it should, they should take their projections before their financial year so that we can be able to follow that. And then another thing that is very concerning to me is about their department itself. I didn't hear about it. Vacancies in their own department. There's so much vacancies that are not getting filled. And I know immediately it's like a trend. When there are vacancies, all the departments, all of them, they've got a lot of vacancies. I don't know, maybe they should see how much have they budgeted for that. Maybe in the next financial year, it should be there. To say, if we say vacancies, how much, it should not be the percentage for how many positions, so that we can be able to track. Because during the time of the year, they're going to shift their money because they want to do other things. And they, again, they're in the same process of there's a lot of vacancies. And when are you going to fill, make sure that those vacancies are filled in? Because now it's just coming up and down, and then next thing we shift all the things. I'll stop for that moment. But I also want to understand this. Vacancies that are not filled, what is the effect? I think I agree with when you say some of the things are not happening. There's a lot of unemployment. And in the meantime, there's also a lot of vacancies. Are we saying in South Africa we don't have qualified people, or we don't have people that we can train? Because I don't know what is the reason why those vacancies are not filled. We talk too much English, big technical words, but in reality, simple things that need to happen, and it's not happening. What kind of impact
in terms of performance of the department, you know, make sure that the department out. And I would like also to know that, July, did you give money to the municipality? And you said their financial year starts in July. Are the money already being transferred in that time? Because I didn't see it there. Thank you.
I think I got July, my three band, we'll deal with it later. For now, it does deal really that's good. If we talk about July, we're going to get confused, you know. So we'll soon show us good figures. Deal with the figures that we're seeing in front of us. Okay, so you say the president in the State of the Nation address said last year that people, departments must employ for those funded vacant posts, and it is not happening. So what is the Treasurer doing about it? So, okay. All right. On our side.
Chair, thank you very much. You know, it's an observation the same as Honourable Ramot Lakana, but, you know, I agree with him. We've seen these graphs that in the first quarter the expenditure larger than previous years is always low. The question then is, you know, must we provide for this money during this period, or, you know, should there not be another way of doing things? In any case, that's just an aside. But because we see, Chair, at the end of the fourth quarter, people spend virtually 100% of their budgets, and then, but the outputs and the targets are not achieved. They don't get close to them. So, you know, is money really well spent, you know, for the benefit of the people that actually need the money? And the answer is obviously no. But I just don't know. I'm not exactly sure, Chair. It's either DGI or Public Enterprise or one of these departments that, you know, that guaranteed a $3 billion bailout for the SAA. Now, you know, I don't know. That didn't come through any budget or through this committee or through Treasury or through the normal budgeting process. I don't know whether it comes through the MTBS. But, you know, there's a monetary cost involved for SAA. And I'm trying to know whether the departments can, without approval from Treasury, or do they do it with approval from Treasury, you know, issue guarantees to bail out, you know, sort of any institutional state. Because, you know, I would say that would be unacceptable because, you know, there are cost implications involved in anything of that nature. So I would just like to hear Treasury's comment on how that specific bailout came around and how they can be, how it can be financed eventually.
Thanks. With regard to the APPs, they're basically Parliament look at passing budget funds every year. Does the does Treasury receive from the department how they're performing against those APPs on a quarterly basis? So, because we, you know, and if the department's aware that we've now been given the responsibilities of monitoring and evaluation, or also acting monitor the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. So, if Treasury is getting reports on how the departments are performing against their quarterly projections in respect to outcomes, it would be greatly appreciated if we could get those reports as well. And then secondly, I'm not sure, the Ogalis or the Ogalis 2, was that manufactured in South Africa, that ship? Yeah, but then how are we paying that to a foreign company then? What's the customs tax? Okay, thanks.
Because it's, I mean, that is payable on imports. It comes to, the VAT comes to the South African system. That is payable on imports, but not on exports. So this was an imported ship, and that was payable at the point at which delivery was taken.
I just want to get clarity in my mind. So it comes in, and then we're paying, the department is paying SARS the VAT. Yeah, basically, yeah. But then how would that work in terms of the appropriation? And I'm sorry. Because then you're basically getting additional money into additional above that was budgeted for collection.
your question is, how is this ship going to be paid for? Yeah, let's put it back.
Excuse me, are
you done, Congressman?
No, the thing is that I want to stop, sir. I want to stop this dialogue between Treasury and SNEL. SNEL must ask, the Honourable
ask
must ask
question.
And then they can respond later on.
It was hard for me to ask the question without knowing where the ship was manufactured. So I was needing clarity on that, and then to be able to find out how that the budget and the VAT would work. So Mr. Duncan will answer that.
And you've got now where the question.
Yes.
Okay. Do we continue at this stage or we wait for round two?
No, just one.
Okay. You want to ask your question?
No, I'm just with your rider.
Sorry, I forgot to welcome an honorary member of this committee, because you are a member, honorable, like, you are welcome, feel free to participate. Né? She's also a member of the other committee, portfolio committee. Now, sorry, you may proceed.
Questions are only riding on the questions that have been asked on production. We need to, I want to understand from Treasury. I heard that, in fact, I understand that when you do the production, you take all these productions from the other department, and you put that together, and then you come up with that figure. It's very clear that this system is working, is not working because you are not keeping. You don't spend according to the productions. Now, I wonder if when this department are giving you this projection, you do sit down and interrogate them and check if they are reasonable, they are achievable, as they put them. Because if that was the case, then we will not be having the challenges that we have. Another problem that we are having as a committee, we don't know these spending positions. They are told at the last minute, and that is disadvantaging us in terms of our oversight. Because if we had them from the beginning, before they start spending, we would be in a position of tracking it ourselves instead of relying on Treasury, but it was not only going to be Treasury, but ourselves as well, in terms of work, to be knowing exactly where they went wrong because they would have presented in front of the committee. And I think if that we are afforded that opportunity to see them in advance, it will really assist us a great deal. The second issue that I want to talk about, that I will need a further clarity, is the issue of understanding. The document is talking about understanding, and then this morning you have changed this understanding to an accounting program. How does that happen? Because this document is compiled, of course, it's not out yet, but it's compiled. And I don't think that you took one day or 2 hours to do it. Definitely, there should be system that you are following to check whether the information that is there is right or wrong. Because it is really, it's confusing. How do we then make sure that a problem of this nature does not arise? And how to also be ensured that it's happening for the first time, it has never happened. You know, it's not going to happen. So things like that, but at least you should be having a very tight system to see what is going on and be able to detect the problem before you can start or compiling and projecting, I mean, understanding and counting problems. Really, I don't understand.
It was just, it's one point. I had told that Mema Shekho will speak, but now I'm going to represent her.
Where is the caucus between the two of you?
it's just a water thing, and the water and Limpopo, Nandoni, and so on. When one reads a summarized version of what the treasurer has presented, and one think back what the department reported to us when we met with them about, I think, the third quarter expenditure, there is a, it may well be because it's a summary here that I read a lot of things out of. The main reason that in fact this is a recurring problem from the problem of scope of change and the rest of it. It's not a new problem. We were made to believe that this issue about service provider, that there was some delay in that happened, but that's now the parallel installation of pipe is taking place. Everybody is speaking from both directions, and I still have an issue with that. But main reason that under expenditure, they said they didn't have there was a personnel issue, that there was a dispute with the restructuring, which mainly hampered this. But in terms of service providers, installation, they were confident that there was no problem around that. But when you read the reason here that is provided, I don't know whether what we get as a committee from the department directly and what then the department provides to Treasury as reasons and motivations, somewhere it is differences. Now, if there is a difference between the two, then we'll be fairly worried about what information should we utilize. Now, Doc, the measurable objective that we're using expenditure based on in terms of program and so on, would you say, given the trend that you are suggesting here, in fact, in your conclusion, you are saying understanding is possible? Now, I don't know whether you're already projecting to the fourth quarter. And if you look at the area that you identify, it's probably all the area that deals with the government priorities. Would you say in your considered opinion that the measurability of the objective as set out in the ADP, as what we have in fact confirmed, are probably not appropriate? There's some degree of misleading into them. Because I think it's important so that when we try to get oversight, we understand the elasticness of that object measurability and non-measurability and non-meeting the target based on what has been set out to be met based on the plan. Because we're using the plan here to be able to check whether something has been done according to the plan. Thank you, Chair.
No, it's not allowed to have a question. No, it's fine. Mr. Donato, you know the other people that are not mentioned here, which has not really their spelling, maybe the character is not as very bad. Because they are overall look well,
if you look at the closely at the program, there are a lot of challenges. Public works, they spend well over, I'm sure well over their target projection, 27%. But there's a program that we as a committee are passionate about, which is the expanded public works program. And now, you can see that now, at the beginning it was getting a lot of what they call resources, it's been reduced. It doesn't matter whether it's reduced to zero. Still, they're not spending. Continuously, they're not spending on it. You see now where the other member was saying, also members of monitoring and evaluation, I think we're becoming wiser as well, in terms of how to reduce things as well. Continuously they're not spending. There is a communications in some what you call as well. They are at 20%. But if you look at the details of their spending, they have challenges. Well, the DD decided to run away when we invited last time. She never came to us. I think there's a question also that I'm having. I think I'm sure you noticed the trend of these questions. The members are saying, as a committee, we say, we hear these issues that this couldn't be done, we don't know how it was not done. But the way this expenditure, the graph that we are showing us here, they start from quarter one, it's very slow, people seem that like it's new people altogether. They don't know about the department. So they start spending low for the first quarter, and they grow, and so forth. But we have a medium-term expenditure framework. I think that's a question that we are really asking. Is it working? Is it working for these people? Because there's no planning. That's what the members are saying. That doesn't seem to be planning. And if you can't plan something this year up to 31st of March, and those plans you must start again from the 1st of April because it's a new year. But our budget process is MTF, it's supposed to be continuous. People know today how much baseline they're going to get for 2013, 2014. They know by now. But still come 1st of April, the expenditure is low. So I think that I don't have to interpret these questions. So the committee wants to understand what is the real problem. Also part of that is really the role of National Treasurer. And over to you, Mr. Donaldson. For the team, anybody can answer.
Thank you. The committee has made many points, and very well, and I do hear, as you're indicating, Chair, a very strong concern of the committee about the links between planning and actual delivery and implementation. So let me start by saying we very much welcome and share the committee's concerns. We would like to see better planning and better budgeting and a better link between the planning and budgeting, and it's very welcome that the committee role has been extended to include monitoring and evaluation. That is where a lot of the difficult work needs to be done, and it certainly is where the Treasury's own work in some respects clearly needs to be improved, but where we are certainly concentrating our efforts. So let me start also say that we need to recognize that there are both the macro fiscal and micro delivery perspectives that we have to bring bear on the budget. Macro fiscally, why are we seeing lags in spending? Well, in part because
we had a very fast growth in allocation between 2002 and 2010. So we had what has historically been the fastest period of expansion in our budget, with spending growing by over 10% a year in real terms in several of those years, and the total value of government spending doubling in real terms between 2002 and 2009. So we've had a period of very large growth. We now are in a very different position. We're now in a position where the economy has been through a recession, revenue in 2009 fell in nominal terms, the deficit widened very much, and so while we in our work in public finance, working with departments, are trying to see better spending of money that's been allocated, and your committee is very much concerned about that, but also, of course, alongside the Minister of Finance and the Treasury and the macro fiscal and economic policy work that the Treasury is also responsible for. From that perspective, we're having to cast a spotlight on where government is spending too much, where the deficit is too wide, and where we are having, as the Minister puts it, to seek a shift in the composition of spending to strengthen growth, where we're having to see savings, and we're having to identify areas where spending needs to be cut back. So both of those perspectives are important parts of understanding what is going on. Let me say a few things about the specific questions that you raised, and then perhaps come back to this broader question, which is really a very important one: is the MGF working, and in what respect can we perhaps have improvement? So a couple of the specific questions that were raised: the DOF fund in the Treasury, you'll find that amongst the numbers that are shown in the first quarter. The first round of allocations by the Development Bank's Investment Committee were completed, and allocations of about 1.8 billion rand were made. But those are approved projects. The money flows on those projects will take place over time as those projects are implemented, and the EBSA is now in the process, and has been for the last a few months, of finalizing contracts with those implementing agencies. The second request for proposals went out, and the Development Banks Committee is now making approvals as we speak of new projects as part of that second round of allocation. So cash flows from the Job Fund will happen this year. They hardly happened last year. Just by the end of the year, there had been some approvals, but the cash flows on those will mainly happen this year. We will see spending this year on the Job Fund, but you will also see, and the Minister of Finance in his presentation to the Finance Committee yesterday confirmed that the allocations for the Job Fund, it's a 9 billion rand program as a whole, will be rescheduled over a 5-year period, and so that's a recognition that this program has taken longer to get going than we would have liked. The management systems and capacity that has to be put in place to manage it properly certainly took longer than we expected to get going, and so money is beginning to flow this year, but the program will take place, will be completed over a longer period of time than was initially planned. So that's position on the Jobs Fund. There was also a specific question on South African Airways. What is the status of this? And we don't see it in the numbers. It's a guarantee.
Just before the settlement goes on the question, I didn't really get the reason for why. I hear that you're saying there was a cash flow problem. What do you mean by that?
The jobs fund involved a request for proposal. 2,500 or so applications were received in the first round. Those applications were received in August last year, and then over the period from August till the end of the year, the Development Bank's secretariat project management team were responsible for assessing those applications, liaising with applicants that have been shortlisted, reviewing those applications, and that process was a lot more bureaucracy intensive than had been expected. By the end of last year, by February this year,
by the end of the last financial year, the Job Fund Investment Committee had allocated $1.8 billion to projects, I think 34 projects in total. These are projects that are implemented by NGOs, businesses, in some cases government agencies, and they have to match the funding that comes from the Job Fund with their own resources, so that $1.8 billion allocation translates into a program commitment of about $3.5 billion in total. But it will be spent over several years. In some cases, these are quite demanding projects in which small business support is provided to businesses. For example, one of the big programs is to illustrate involves providing small grants or loans to small businesses. Well, those application processes themselves have to get going once the large budget for that program has been put in place. So the actual spending on projects takes place over several years after approvals are made. And unlike some programs where the funding is simply transferred to an implementing organization, the Treasury has taken the view here, not going to transfer the money to Zillin Bank, not going to transfer the money to sponsors until it's needed. So the cash will flow as the projects are implemented.
I won't ask a question, I'll just comment. My comment would be, I don't think it is not as acceptable the red tape that is taking place in development there. Because I think we can, as the government, intervene. Because we have targets and we allow the president goes out and talks to people in the State of the Nation address, then things are not going because of the red tape. Red tape that I think we have control over. So I think I'm very concerned about that, but I won't want you to delay other questions over that.
Okay, thank you. I red tape is a problem. I wish we had less red tape. But let me just say, because we have to face the reality of public accountability, is that much of the red tape is about good government. Much of the red tape is about proper control. Much of the red tape is about proper assessment of projects, whether they will work or not, and protection of the fiscus against fraud, protection of the fiscus against poor management, protection of the fiscus against waste. So that's the reality is. Financial management does slow things down, but financial management also gives us a better prospect of good value for money. And I completely share honourable members' frustration that this program has taken so long because it is such a critical program. But that's the background. That is the nature of government everywhere in the world. Getting programs going does take time. Let me just come back then to the two other things that need some explanation: South African Airways and the way.
Because I'm not sure if I would ask it. I don't accept that. Because when this president speaks on State of the Nation, all what people expect is the things to roll. And when they roll, they can't roll for years. I mean, so there's a question that needs to be asked. Maybe I'll be asking to the wrong person.
No, I think that I was, I was also watching you, looking at Mr. Donaldson, asking. Maybe we should allow the what we call him to answer the question. But the problem is that the other question is that you're dealing with members, you've got constituencies. So these questions are not just questions, just for the sake of clarity here. There are other people that we must be able to explain to these processes. Some people approach us because they know that, and if people have come to me, and so to a number of us, because they know that, as the colleague said, President has announced this thing, how can I access this? I've spoken to people in the industry, not, it's very critical to
I just don't want to engage. It's maybe what we would need to do and commit. If we arrange a proper, a proper briefing on this issue. Because I agree with the honorable member that I'm listening that it gets approved. Now it takes about a year before the funds do roll out. And people, they apply because they need this fund. So sometimes, you know, in government, you can link this up to the payment of people who do business. This take a day, what you call it, a payment for supply. For service provision. You know, maybe I know from our side, we need to know as members, we need to have information so that we can be able to say, how to unblock, if there are blockages, what role can we play as Parliament to unblock these blockages so that people do have access on what has been promised. I think that's what the public is saying is a concern for all of us. But I'm suggesting that we allow you to pass this, what you call it, one and two other questions. That is
so this, the problem with this whole thing, I don't believe for a second that when the president prepares his State of the Nation address, does not consult this department. And if they knew, they know about the bureaucracy that is there, which is necessary, then it means something must be done before the pronouncement, because people are judging us, are judging the government, are judging the president on the statements that he has made. And people don't know about what we are saying. That's why it is saying that people are expecting the pronouncement has been made. So it means before, during that process of the briefing, there are certain things that must be said so that people should not expect this thing to take time in 6 months or 3 months. So it's really not enough to say, no, this process is, we know, people don't know that.
Announce at the right time.
I don't want to say that because I don't want to say it really, so there's a lot that you can say about this that we don't understand, sure that we don't understand, but it means that when you are briefing the president before he speaks, if you know that this thing is not going to happen, you should brief him properly so that you say certain things or say in 5 years' time or in 3 years' time so that people understand that, the nation understands that.
Suggesting to colleagues, I see there are other hands. In other words, I'm suggesting that let's pass this point, this subject, if National Affairs agrees, and get a proper, what you call a briefing, with the people that have been given the task to us to deal with this. Because I think that the concern that Honorable Yenge is raising is our own frustration, because people think that, people put it very clear. They say members of parliament are liars. Parliamentarians are liars. Because they think that we lie. We make these promises and it's just for lying, you know. I heard in the States that now it's just like it's a license to lie for public grief. We don't want to be told. We don't want that license. We'll not take that license. We want, I think that the frustration that the colleague is raising, that maybe a little bit of homework really needs to be done. And, can I suppress you next? Okay, thanks. Make provision. You agree that you come to us with a proper briefing on this? Can I invite you?
You can, if you want a briefing on the job fund, obviously that can be done. But the briefing on the job fund has already been made to Parliament and was reported on to the committee on the Finance Committee yesterday again. The Chief Investment Officer of the Jobs Fund, who is at Development Bank, has been to Parliament. I think he's probably in the book to report again once the next quarter's results are through. The other specific questions, Chair?
South African Airways was a guarantee of 5 billion rand. How did guarantee work? How does the Treasury get involved? A guarantee can only be issued after consultation with Treasury. There is a financial liability committee in the Treasury that assesses all applications for guarantees, and the Minister of Finance has to give concurrence with that. There is nothing in the budget because there is no cash requirement. If there is a call on the guarantee, if the guarantee has to be honoured, because South African Airways is gets into difficulties, then there will be appropriation. Then it would come into the budget as an appropriation. So, for example, in the last few years, the guarantee that has been provided to Danel in terms of its obligations to provide supplies to for the A400 project has been called, and there have been cash flows, there have been appropriations that have had to be made for those payments to Danel. Certainly, the assurances that the Public Enterprises Department has given us, that South African Airways has given us, is that they will not need the cash associated with this guarantee, but there are no certainties. The reason guarantee is there is that there are risks, and South African Airways operate in a risky environment, and so there is a what we call contingent liability on the fiscus that is reflected in our financial statements. So to summarize, you will not see numbers for guarantees in the budget, but you will see them in the statement of financial liabilities that is included in the budget review and is published annually and includes a schedule of all the guarantees that government has made it to. All right, so that's the South African Airways position. VAT. The way VAT works is government pays VAT on all its purchases of goods and services. And it makes the VAT system work much better than if you exempt government from paying VAT. It's very complicated, and there is always a leakage of revenue in systems where there's... Okay. So the way our VAT system works is government pays VAT on everything, just like businesses, but government departments cannot claim invoice VAT. So government is exempt and doesn't have to pay VAT on the value of the services it provides, health services or school or education services. The VAT payment is on the purchase of books or supplies, or in this case, boats, whether they are produced in South Africa or imported. So this is the normal VAT treatment. It should have been provided for in the budget, but was not anticipated, and so that payment has been made and will be dealt with in the adjustments budget. Then on Yevgeny's question about the technical adjustment, the sort of grant payment and our system, our budget system, government accounting system, is cash-based. Most government systems in the world are cash-based. There are only three or four countries that have tried to make a transition to full accrual-based system. It is incredibly complicated to do that. If we had an accrual-based system, then you would have seen the money, not the cash flow, you would have seen in the account the payments, estimates of the payments made to the grant recipient. You would have had to see for water affairs where the progress on the dams would be accounted for on an accrual basis, even though the cash invoices hadn't been received yet. You would see a very different picture of spending if we had accrual-based accounts. But governments don't run accrual-based systems until they have very sophisticated accounting capacity. You have to employ thousands more accountants. You have to have a lot more information at your disposal in order to run accrual-based systems. So there's no question. The information is imperfect.
Just on the point of information on that point before we end up with your permission. I just wanted to raise a question with your permission, sir. You will recall that in the former financial committee meetings, this issue, we were promised actually by then DG of finances and it's now a couple of years ago that the accrual basis will be implemented shortly. It was actually in 2007, 2004, 2008. We are not there yet. We still carry on the cash basis of accounting. And the problem that we experience right now is that many of the departments, you know, at some stage they ran out of money. We're talking about money that's not been spent, but on the other hand, you get departments like in the former police service as well, where they rendered services and they did not pay because the invoices were not put into the system. And by the end of the financial year, the balance on a zero, but on the desk, like in the department that I've got experience in the former police service, they then roll over 400 million rand of debts, and within the first month of the new financial year, they paid the previous year debt, so they already ran into a new backlog, and then that got a chain reaction. So the sooner we can get to the accrual basis of accounting, that once the service has been rendered, you can see it as an expenditure, the better. And I want to know from KGD why is it not implemented, because it's not to say that we have to employ many more accountants. I mean, we just talk about the vacancies. There are so many vacancies that can be filled. It's about training and get the people on track that are there to implement the area accrual basis. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's
the NIC is quite correct. Of course, we've been talking about a transition to accrual for a long time, and we have made a lot of progress in it. If you look at the department's financial statements, as Ronald van Dijk well knows because he's been involved in putting these numbers together, if you look at the financial statements of the department, you have a lot more information these days. You have estimates of invoices that have been accrued. You have estimates and statements of payments that are owing. You have explanatory notes that take us a long way towards an accrual-based system. But we have not yet implemented an accrual-based system for departments, and there are some good reasons for that. We have been advised that countries that have tried to do this in a short period of time have got themselves into difficulties, because there are no perfect accounting systems. There are some advantages in cash because it is very easily measured. Accrual-based systems require estimates and verification of those of those estimates and adjustments to accounts that are in some respect more difficult to manage than the cash-based system. But this is really rather a different discussion from what we were having, and my point was simply to say that the 6 billion, 7 billion cash measure that of spending that we show in these in these accounts, and as we've explained, does not reflect the fact that there was 6 to 7 billion rands worth of grants paid to beneficiaries on the day that those grants would usually be paid in the beginning of July. That's the consequence of having a cash-based system. What the cash-based system gives you is the cash numbers. The cash numbers, and we should remember that when we look at the water affairs numbers, when we look at housing numbers, when we look at spending of health services on their medicines, all of those are, all the numbers you're looking at are just the cash-based numbers. There are real transactions going on that may well be ahead of, in some cases may well lag behind the actual cash flows.
It means that when you are writing the report, you decide which word to use. You decide to say under expenditure or say...
I think, Mr. Chair, the position is that the cash numbers that you see are exactly what the cash flows were. You don't define. In an accrual-based system, you have a bit more discretion. You write it up based on your estimation of when the economic value flows. That's what the principle is behind an accrual-based system. And so, as I'm sure Van Dijk will confirm, businesses can exploit accrual-based system in ways that shift profits from one year to another, often resulting in extensive inquiry and difficulties for those who oversee and analyze business flows. So the discretion to adjust numbers is greater in an accrual-based system than in a cash-based system. We don't have that discretion. We simply show you the cash flows that emerge out of the basic accounting system that government uses. And then lastly, Chair, if I can make a few points on the important question about whether the MTF is working, and linked to that, whether our
APPs, the strategic plans departments publish, are taking us forward in providing measures of service delivery and effective targets. I think that members will know that there is a huge volume of information at our disposal now. By comparison with 10 years ago, we have annual performance plans, department, strategic plans, the detail that goes into the E&E, and that's only a small part of the information that flows between treasuries and the department. There's a huge volume of information within which we have made a lot of progress in specifying targets and in specifying ways of measuring service delivery. We now have a new department whose job it is to bring order to and perhaps advise on development in the monitoring evaluation system, and I'm quite sure that we will see further progress as the work of the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation begins to impact on the planning system and reporting systems of departments. So, yes, there's elasticness to measurability, and I like that phrase that Honourable Rambati has used. I think we're also at a phase where there is an excess of information overload, and in the next few years, my guess is that we will find ourselves trying to narrow down to those measures that we have more confidence in, those measures and indicators of service delivery that lend themselves to regular measurement and audit and verification, and we will, I hope, move out of the system or modify those measures that are so elastic that they really are not useful indicators of service delivery. And there are some activities, government, that are easier to measure, that lend themselves to quantification by comparison with others. Governments all across the world struggle with that overload of information and with the sense in which quite a lot of what government does, pursuing safety and security, addressing human rights issues, where there are many possible measures and there are many interpretations of the role and responsibilities of government. And so simplifying everything to a set of simple to a set of quantitative indicators is not the only thing that one has to do. So that's the main point I would make on that. I think our NDF... I think our MDF is working, not as well as it should be. I think we've still got some way to go in improving things. Overall, at the end of the last financial year, 2011-12, spending on the national budget was 97% of the total adjusted appropriation and 99% of the revised estimate of spending that the Minister published in the October statement. There was a technical adjustment at the end of last year. There was an additional 5.75 billion added for the roads agency, which is why there hasn't had to be anything this year yet. So that added to spending. But the budget framework does recognize that spending appropriations are ceilings. These are the maximum amounts that the department can spend. So spending ought to be below those maximum, close to as possible in respect of key service delivery areas. But we're not aiming for 100%. We're aiming here to achieve good value for money in government. Let me add one other qualification, one other important point that I think the committee should be aware of in respect of the distinction between spending and what we call planned spending or the approved drawdowns of departments. The reason the Treasury asks departments at the beginning of each financial year to give a projection of their drawdown is really for financial management and cash management purposes. That's the information that goes to the debt management team in Treasury, whose job it is to ensure that there is always cash in the bank. And they need to know not really what the actual expected exact cash flow of every department is. They need to know what the maximum amount is that they're going to have to provide for, because their job is to ensure that fiscus is always funded. So there is a bias in the planned spending numbers that we share with you in these reports. There is a bias to overestimation, and is a deliberate bias. It's there because the fiscus, the Minister of Finance, has to ensure that there's always money to meet the requirements of the state. So if you like a request to departments to indicate their projected maximum
or probable maximum spending during a quarter or during every month. And so you should expect to see actual spending coming in a bit below those numbers, not by the gaps that we see in some cases, but you should not expect to see overspending against these planned drawdowns. That's not how the system is supposed to work.
You're inviting, you're opening a can of worms. Even myself, I'm very uncomfortable with the statement. But let me start with Honorable Fulo. You are the first one to raise their hand. Honorable Ramatagana, Honorable Yen.
Chairperson, I know exactly that there must be money into whatever they could discuss. But I'm still saying, as much as you have to have money to project, your projection should not differ so much with your plan. Now, at this moment, we are saying they are not gelling together, planning and the projection. That is the challenge. We are not saying people can't project. We are saying, in terms of the projection and the actual thing that is there, you don't talk to each other. And we are proposing that. Make sure that the projections and the plan and the budget talk to each other. At this moment, they don't talk to each other, and that is the challenge. And I'm suggesting, we are proposing that before the financial year, the projection should be there, together with the plan and the budget, you know? So that when we come and we have to monitor or check what's happening, then we know exactly what are we monitoring. And in the second issue that I want to raise today, you said that you've reported to other committees before. You did not report to the committee, so you must come and report to this committee what is happening, what the chairperson was saying, what when you answered. I wanted to chip in, but I kept quiet. To say you did not report to us, so we want that report that you talk that the financial manager, the you've reported to the finance or to the other portfolio in this one same committee, you didn't come. So we want that answer. And I still don't get a clear answer in terms of what are you going to do about people that are not spending accordingly. What is the plan there? The damage that is done, for me it's damage. Now what are you going to do about it? I can't hear, maybe I was outside. And how are you going to address that? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Fulo, Honorable Ramasaga. Okay, let's start I thought that you were still confirming.
Chair, I just want to hear from I don't understand that. And in fact, the statement that we have had is reinforcing the fact that we need to see this projection as the committee so that we know what is that we have to do over title, what is that we have to track down and check. Because it is saying that, it's saying that when the projections are not actually, they will have always, it won't be overspending, it will be underspending. Because the way they budget so that the money in the system. Does it mean then that there is no understanding at all? Because your explanation is not convincing. You are lecturing us on how things that you take into account, that there should be money that is left in the fiscal, and it will never be overspending. It will be understanding. Now, what is the case here? Because we are talking on what you are saying here. What is the case here? Is it because you projected high, deliberately so, and that's why it's like this? Otherwise, everything in the department and your service 100% fine.
Well, I do appreciate the response and confession about some elasticness on the
national level.
I think the doctor there will explain. But with respect, can we a little bit test your statements there about the faster of growth that is faster in terms of injection in government program, which is not met by the expenditure pattern? Are you arguing, or are you presenting a case that suggests that the state machinery is slower in accepting, in implementing the program and policies as decided from year to year? And if it is so, what's your view? Because I think the 3-year MTF multi-budgeting was precisely to create that space so that you understand the outlook of where the state or the government wants to take the people to with the program. So, but I find this injection investment that outpaces the actual implementation or actual program implementation spending to be quite intriguing. It then suggests to me, and I'm just speaking as a layman, it then suggests to me that the investment in the program, it is not quite driven by the program and what is anticipated to be achieved or implemented. It may well suggest that in some degree there's arbitrariness of that injection. Because surely the investment or injection in the program should be informed by the program in terms of what we want to achieve. The last one is a small one. I just want to get the answer yes or no. The MOU, Doctor, is it signed or not signed?
That's your fund.
It's your fund.
I thought you were making a call on this particular one.
No, you finished answering one of the questions, I thought.
Yes.
No,
that is not answered.
Oh, okay. So my apologies. Maybe you can hear. I wanted to know whether the MOU on the fund was ever signed or not signed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You want to answer that one directly?
Between the Minister of Finance and the Development Bank.
Now, we'll take a follow-up with the question, Honourable Mashiach. I want to ask Honourable Mashiach, Honourable Snell. Okay, let me start with another business. Why are you bringing your order?
Thanks, Chair. With regards to these strategic plans and these annual performance plans, they were introduced to departments by Treasury, and the templates were introduced by Treasury, if I can recall correctly. The point of Treasury requesting that departments do it like this, but for what reason? If they don't get... if they don't oversee that is being measured on a quarterly basis to those projections. So all of do they get those quarterly? What have the department achieved with their money against what they
claim? They wear the paper.
That's basically yes. Because really those will help us for ourselves. These reports are brilliant, and a lot of work that's gone into them. But you can't see delivery in these reports.
So you're ready now?
Honorable Ramatlakane decided to go to water. I don't know how to replace it because of the problem that we have with this, specifically the social partners in this water issue. Because I think there should be a link. As government, we talk about partnership, and if the partner is going to benefit more in what we are doing, and we see it benefiting, but not willing to come to the party to sign an MOU like the mines around London, it becomes a problem because it affects service delivery at the other end.
I just want to know how these other stakeholders, stakeholders around the water issue are brought or instructed, as you can say, to come to the party, because they are also going to, they also need to benefit, because we can't be held ransom by the man saying they can't, water can be distributed to the real end, because the mining partners don't have enough profit to contribute their share. Because we can't be talking same thing with water issues, because they already know what they're going to come to tell us when we tell them about these other social partners who benefit from water, while the people in the communities don't benefit. How far do you talk to these investment companies that need to come to the party in as far as water distribution is concerned, because they get water? Do you tell them, do you give them deadlines, or what do you do? To say, if you don't do this, this is what is going to happen to you, this is how we are going to take you, so that we should be able to do our work, because we can't go to the same place, and why can't people get water? Then the department is the one that tells us that, because the mining can't contribute their share of the promise. And the other one that concerns me is this, I don't know whether to call them bailouts, because at the end of the day, it's this committee. And I think in the next presentation, we can't hear in the passages that they look at us as something, they are wasting time this one, because it's already going to treasure. So in the next presentation, we're going to bring it up. I don't want to talk about it right now. We feel as a committee that at the end of the day approves this, a sort of payout, we need to be taken on board. We know that finance is there, but it will have to be approved by us. It will have to be approved by us. And that arrangement with the minister, I think if we meet, tell them that workshop, which they have said we should negotiate, I think we should at least say it's our fault. Where we need to talk to Treasure, that our role is, it's very important in this whole setup, because the budget goes through us. Whatever is done is being done behind us. At the end of the day, it affects us as a community, because we need to stand up there and say this money needs to be approved when we don't know anything about it. Can we be informed in time, because we know the weaknesses in this department, and then we can engage. You know, we don't have any budget office. But I think we need to deal as a budget office this committee, because we don't have any tools that can assist us come to conclusions. But without the budget office, I think we are the ones who should be directly involved in coming to those decisions. But as long as we don't know what's happening about the mines and the profit maker's inability to come to the party.
Now, thank you, come. You're not ready, are you? Okay. Another one for you.
Jefferson, I nearly forgot the red tape. We were talking about the red tape. She said some of the reasons why they can't do that is because of the red tape. My question is, who's doing the red tape? Who's someone who has the idea of red tape? Because if the red tape becomes red, when immediately, if the president is going to announce, we know that there are red tapes. And I'm saying you still lack of training, because they knew that this dog fund is coming, it will be there now, they said, never mind. Why did they allow it to be announced? Then the next minute they say the red tape makes it that the man shouldn't be there. But I remember last year, they advertised that people must apply, and even they were closing the dates. After, how do you allow that process to go on of people applying for job funds, and then the next minute you say there's no money, or there's a lot of red tape? Because you should check the red tape first before you can even allow people to apply for that. I know we are very careful to make sure that our money doesn't go down the drain, but also it's a serious concern I'm
not going to see because of Rest Day, that is a problem. I'm sorry, you maybe you missed the response.
Oh.
Yeah, on this. I don't think that was what was said. But what we agreed upon was that we'll come back to this one because we want a full response on this because it concerns us. But I think that Mr. Donaldson had said process started in August last year. Already by end of the financial year, 1.8 billion had been distributed. It is continuing, but all he said was that it is slow. Wonderful briefing, and then discuss all other things. So I request that we pass this one. But question that I thought that intervention was for, you know, was for this, when you said the estimates, you know, they are not to the point. I think that we agree. However, sometimes it's understanding, sometimes it's overspending. But for me, let me use, for the lack of a better term, I'll use this term very guardedly because I'm worried about it. It's a credible, what you call a budget, that we approve. I don't know. I'm very worried when you say it's, I mean, the way you put it, as one of us now talks about the flat lands and APPs, because for ourselves, we, on a Brahmacharana earlier, asked about the indicator that last year there was 11 billion that was not spent. Now, I'm not sure if that's what we're budgeting for. Someone else is overspending the site because he needs the money. Someone else put together the ADP when they know that they don't really need this money. Now, I'm worried we might really, there might be a misunderstanding from the statement that you put because we want to ensure that people have got credible the annual performance plans are credible, the estimates are credible. People might not really know that they're not going to be able to spend to the last cent, but we hope that it makes sense. Otherwise, it will be very difficult. You know, for me, it's really a difficult exercise for me to ask people to account. Why are you understanding? When at the beginning it was known that actually it's such an exercise just to while away time. It's not a serious exercise. I'm really worried about this statement. So maybe I misunderstood you on this budget. Why do we have a budget? Why do we budget if we're not what is called which are doing this? Okay, let me give you a chance to you have 5, 10, 15 minutes.
Well, what I want to do is just give my colleagues, George Temer and Mark Blitter, a chance to respond, because I think they need to talk a bit about how we use the ABPs and the strategic plans to assist in our own budgeting work. Yeah.
Strategy has changed pretty significantly the structure of this report. It was a lot of work on this. I think all the members are looking appreciative of some of the additional information that's being provided here. One of the additional new tables that is inserted into the report is that first statement of the approved expenditure for each of the quarters. The honourable member can, in fact, use each report to look at what is the planned expenditure for each of the quarters ahead. In trying to assess how the departments are doing. Chairperson, I think it is probably important to express that it's quite difficult for the Treasury to try and summarize 40 different sectors of the economy all in a short time, all within one document. In a way, you know, I think what we're attempting to do here is to alert you to some of the major trends, some of the big departments that are behind, but it's very difficult to do justice to 40 departments in one document and one process. So I think we try to highlight some potential areas which the committee can take up in much more detail with the department. Given the regulations around APPs and quarterly reporting, we have now, obviously, for the first time, you now formally get submissions of the APPs and the quarterly reports from the departments, and we're now engaging with those in a much more substantive way than we have previously. A lot of those APPs and quarterly reports have really been not in the shape. There's been quite a lot of nonsense, and so we have tried to work with the departments to greatly improve those. The selection of indicators, the reporting indicators, and I think we are seeing, I think that those regulations which allow the Treasury to have a say in the APPs and the quarterly reports, along with our colleagues in monitoring evaluation and others, I think have been useful. So I think we are trying to get more on top of those things. But I would like to point out to members that whereas the Treasury should play a greater role in the credibility of the drawing, but sometimes the exercise is not that easy.
Please, your phone, someone's phone is on silent, but it is next to, it's interfering with the system. Let us put the phone away from the mic, please. That's a few. Thank you very much.
I just want to give an example here of the difficulty of the negotiation around the drawings within one of the votes that I deal with health, for example. So, Chief, you will know, of course, that in any case, here we show spending, but it's not real spending. It's actually transfers to other levels of government. So, for example, here, you know, what we showed in health, for example, is the transfers.
Don't mention some of the terms, you know, because they're going to create more problems.
Some members asked for some of the real problems. I wanted to give you two examples. So the health grants here, it looks like spending is excellent, but spending is not excellent at all, is the nursing college grant and the NHI conditional grant. There are two new conditional grants. The new conditional grants are often difficult to spend. But both the NHI conditional grant and the nursing college conditional grant, here are numbers that you see here suggest there's 100% spending. In fact, there's only less than 10% spending. Because those numbers have simply been transferred from not being spent there. Now, when the Treasury negotiates with the Director General of the Department and says, your drawing on these new grants are unrealistic. You don't think you can spend, according to your plan, what you say you can spend on these two new conditional grants, nursing college. Then the Department says, well, you don't understand our plan. We can spend these amounts. We know what you're doing here. You know, who are you to tell us, you know, we can't draw this money, but... So, can we alert you to some of the difficulties here? There will be some difficulties. Overall, the spending is, you know, going to be is well over 95%. You know, going to be close to 98%. We do have some of these negotiations with the departments. They are not always easy, and sometimes the departments think they're a lot better than us. I mean.
Well, I'm going to say something about the link between the budget and output. Okay, and I will not speak very long. Increasingly, we are encouraging departments and asking departments to relate the amounts that are in the budget, amounts that are spent, not spent, overspent, to the actual output that they deliver. So if a department understands the budget, in the estimates of national expenditure, for instance, report, we also want to know what has not been delivered as a result. Okay. So I just wanted to add that.
One last thing then, Chair, which is the water project mines and payments.
Chairperson, I just want to make get clarity or make comment on the last, before we get into the Mr. Donald and the previous speaker. You know, I can't accept that the people who spend money from the fiscus, government money, to say to Treasury, why you to tell us what to do? It doesn't work that way. At the end of the day, you know, like an accounting officer responsible for a department, you know, some department or someone must be responsible for fiscal policy. Government income and government expenditure. That is where Treasury plays a major role. And you know, if today it will be a very, very worse day in South Africa if Treasury or the Department of Finance, you know, think before the partners, when the partners say, don't tell us, who are you to tell us what we must do and what we must not do. I can't forget this. Thank you.
I think Dr. Nogue is misunderstanding what Mark was saying. But let's also be clear, you cannot run the government from the Treasury alone. We have a government in which departments have responsibility and they need to take responsibility for the funds that they are responsible for. In the end, when the budget is put together, the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Committee on the Budget have to weigh up the relative merits of departments, and we do still continue to play that role. But any of the questions are about implementation. And a government is a very large organization, 40 national departments, provinces, municipalities. We are going to have to make progress in building capacity within departments, within municipalities, within projects. You can't try to do all of that from the end of it. On the water project, these are very big commitments to the Rip Dam and that whole complex of water supply systems. In that Mpumalanga and Limpopo region, this is a very large investment which is going to improve the access to good quality water of many communities, a million and a half people, and a large part of the costs will eventually be paid for by the mines, which are the main users of water. So it's possible to make these big investments because there are agreements or potential agreements with industry and mines, but they will pay over time. You're not going to get the mines to pay up front, and I know there was a lot of negotiation for different ways in which these agreements of the mines could be structured. There was a bit of a delay in some of these projects because the Water Affairs Department wanted firm commitments for the mines, but you've also got to be realistic here. Mines face uncertainties themselves. They're not too sure what the platinum price is going to be, so they're not too sure they will sign a 20-year agreement to pay for all this water. Really important is that once the mine is built, once the water system is in place, the water is being delivered, the mines are using it, there will be tariffs in place and that contributes to paying off the loans that have been incurred for the company's investment and also contributes to a flow of revenue to the national government through the water trading entity that the Water Affairs Department administers that improves the financing of the entire water system. The government pays for most of the distribution of water and delivery of water to communities. So there's a substantial contribution on the surface that's in the budget that is intended to not to replace the costs that mines have to meet, but to share cost of the overall system in a way that is fair. So that's the high-level view, but I have to say, and I think the Honourable Member is probably aware of this, that there have been some negotiations around, there have been some disagreements between the Water Affairs Department and the mines about the appropriate cost-sharing and tariff structure. It's not just about cost-sharing, it's also about how tariffs will be phased in over time. I think that we're close to resolving those issues. And I do want to say this is a major investment. There have been some delays in parts of it. There have been some parts of it where the planning wasn't as good as it should have been, but this is going to hugely improve access to water in that region. And maybe that's a good point to conclude with is we have put the focus in this presentation, in the numbers, on deviations. There's a lot of focus on programs that are underspending, but don't forget most of government spending does go ahead as planned. Most spending is close to budget, and particularly the established programs, social assistance grants, education and health don't have any difficulty in spending their budgets and indeed taking a longer term perspective. We also see substantial progress in infrastructure investment, in housing, in electrification, in water services, and that the medium-term expenditure framework is about giving us a better sense of where we're headed in the long term. I think we need to add to it now that government is undertaking much more rigorous, extensive planning of major infrastructure programs under the leadership of the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission. I think we are going to have to put some more work into our longer-term numbers. That will be something your committee will be interested in, but perhaps that's a discussion for another day.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Donaldson and the colleague. Honourable members, I think that we have really raised questions. Not a good thing, don't put words in the mouth. I think we have raised questions that we want to raise. We may not have raised all of them. I think that we have really exhausted. You want me to say all the questions? I would like to invite National Pillar and Mr. Donaldson to say your closing remarks before I go.
Thank you very much, Chair and members of the committee. You've had some pointed things to say, some of that has implications for the way we set out a report, which we will take back with us and give some further thought to. And I've also noted that there are some specific issues. The Job Fund is one where the committee would like a further briefing at some stage, and of course we would be happy to do that.
Thank you very much, I realize now, as questions have been asked now, I've taken some notes, some questions have been responded to. Let's tell you what I'm saying. Tell you what I'm saying. Please. Please. No, I ask particularly honourable members, please guide me. I ask if honourable members still have questions, and that's why I ask Mr. Clara to close. So now I am really requesting that once we close, there's no more comments now. The comments will come from the department and myself for on behalf of the questions that you have raised. And they cover the one because the point that you want to raise. Please. But members must help me. I mustn't say alone. You must help me as well. Because I'm going to beaten up when I go outside for not allowing certain comments. Yeah. Now, you know, the question that I was saying, I can't remember hearing the response to was vacant. I'm not saying that we respond to it. I don't remember that we had. But what I would like to say in closing as a committee is that let's get in the next what you call a report on vacancies. We don't know if National Treasurer will suppose that, we don't know if you monitor it, this employment. I think the member who wanted to speak, Honorable Mofulo, raised a question about even with National Treasurer. Raise that question. Would you really like to understand? Because some of the expenditure we get from the report, we get the explanation that says people could not complete the job because of lack of manpower somewhere. So they have not, they are not employees, but there is a funded job. They have applied for funded job. And remember, I was saying, Honorable Mofulo, she was saying, is it because these skills are not there that we not employ people who are sitting on, even when the president has said, at least those vacancies that are funded, they must be filled. We don't want to be saying no, or we're defying him, or what, but we want to see that a move towards the fulfillment of those vacancies. We really like to have a report on that. If you can send us that report, you know, as to what is the progress towards the other issue that was raised is about the planning. To us, this issue is very, very important because as a lot of particular members spoke to this issue of planning, is that
would like to see, we thought that the MTF was brought in order to bring in some kind of seamless, what you call it, you know, progression in terms of the expenditure and what. Now, we see differences from quarter to quarter. It's not supposed to be like that if there's a proper planning. In fact, Mr. Donaldson and the team, you know better than us that I like the division of revenue. Division of revenue is very clear. It says for department, I mean for properties or municipalities to get money, they must send in plan. It has time frame when to send this plan, by when, and those kind of things. I think that, or we think that, it must not only be with provinces and what. Because even at the national level, we experience this kind of cost that we're getting means that we need to have a clause in our appropriation at a national level. So that it's very clear in terms of what project, how they plan to do the project. It's clear. And we can understand from there what the challenges are. At the beginning, you indicated that this is a new template, or if template is the right word, of the report. We really appreciate it. There's more clarity. I think there's more clarity from time to time. That's why we're able to engage. But I also indicated that we want to interact with you on this issue, on how we think that we can enhance the reporting. We have a suggestion. The other issue that you mentioned, just to come to almost a closure, the issue of transfer. We do understand that the for national departments, you provide reports specifically for the National Assembly. There are other reports that you provide for banks, for the yes, maybe mainly used by the NSOP or. But what we're trying to say is that it is important to keep track of how this whether this money is being used. But we can't transfer and walk away from that. We need to keep track. Is the money utilized for what and for the purposes that they are intended for? You were lucky today, you mentioned about the education infrastructure. This committee is very much on top of the especially that and for education, the ICD one. I think it's one of the projects of the committee. And on Friday, I think the reason that members did not raise is because we requested a special meeting to deal with that on Friday. I hope that you have received the invitation or maybe if you have not, in your office it's there. Well, you have already mentioned the issue of the top fund workshop, a meeting, we'll work on that. But the last thing for me is that we really need to improve on the, it links to question of planning, on the credibility of the budget. We think that we need to improve so that if we are approving an annual performance plan, we don't want to be doing it for the sake of doing it because it's part of our job. We think we want to approve a document that is credible so that the allocation of the money as well, the budget, will be credible. But on that note, I would like to thank you for this session, and or you continue with us. But if possible, honorable members, shall we take that 5 minute break? Yes, and then we start with yes. I'm sure by 1 o'clock we'll be done with this. We've got a report.
I see there's a new team that is coming in, led by Honorable Ramadibe Chairperson. You're welcome. And the team, but we have it after 5 minutes break. Okay. Bye-bye. Now everyone is joining the standing committee.
I'm going to go to the hospital. And also for the whole purpose.
Comrades, colleagues,
Comrades,
thank you very much for coming, and the colleagues from the portfolio committee. You're welcome. You don't have to sit with your colleague from your part. You can sit anywhere. You're welcome. Honourable members, is a problem now, Maybe Peter, are you there? Okay. Now we're just waiting now for the team to brief us. But I've got, do you have a copy of your presentation? The members have? I don't have. Or your... And the chairperson, does your chairperson have?
This is your copy. Hello? It's just your copy. I've got that. I have it here. You don't know why you said it's on again.
You ready now? You ready? You ready?
I'm
gonna okay. No, it's fine. The departments are ready to present. Honourable members, thank you very much. We met with the with Treasury and the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities. In some case, we asked them to go and work out a plan that would ensure that the spending of the new department is within the, what called, the acceptable, within the framework of the estimate or the, yeah, of the target. So what today we require from you, we know your mission and vision. We really ask you to, we'll read that from your presentation. But can be as business-like as possible. So that we can listen now to the presentation. Well, thank you very much. Acting DJ Mukaina with Mr. Tembo from the National Treasury. And
Thomas Martini, acting CFO.
Yeah, I don't mind the federal voice, but I must say I must be calm. It's fine. You're welcome. You acting CFO? Okay, you're welcome. Acting DJ, shall we hear from you, please?
Thank you, sir. So this is indeed the joint presentation between the two departments. Yes, as requested by the committee. And what we'll talk to in the presentation is basically the identified areas of concern, areas of, agreed intervention, progress to date, and what remains to be done. The two departments sat down and highlighted the areas that were causing a lot of concern, and we agreed that the non-prioritization of the budget towards killing single key positions was a problem, in that the department didn't look at what it had and make sure that the positions are filled in accordance with that. And also, failure to spend the allocated budget, because as we know, our over expenditure extended to goods and services. The unauthorized expenditure of about 3.7 million for the previous financial year and 22 million for the 2011-12 financial year. Failure to comply with the Public Finance Management Act and other relevant legislation such as the Public Service Act. the unclear mandate or to see duplication between what the department is doing and other sister departments such as social development and health and justice. The perceived top-heavy structure, the failure of the department to meet its targets, as you would have seen from the previous report, that we managed to deliver to meet at least 65% of, I think 6% of our planned targets. And weak financial management, which basically was a result of lack of critical skills within the finance area. And we've agreed as a team that this is the biggest cause of all the issues that the department is faced with, the lack of effective financial management in the department. Also the lack of an establishment and expansion plan, because as you know, when any organization is established, you can't follow a full bank approach in implementing your mandate. You need to have a phase-by-phase process. That never happened. We didn't have a situation where we sat down and said, this is how we're going to grow as an organization. The unstable DG position, in the sense that I think the department has had about 5, if I'm not mistaken, accounting officers since it was established. And one of which had a permanent contract, and this is a cause of concern from both departments. Also, the unstable CFO position, as you know, now we have, I think this is the third CFO. We initially had an acting CFO, then we had a CFO, then now we have another acting CFO. Now, the agreed interventions. We agreed that the department will spend within the allocated budget. So this might sound a simple statement that does not even deserve to be put up there, but to the two departments this means a lot, and there's been a lot of issues around this particular issue, or a lot of arguments. So we have committed as the two departments that the DWCP will spend within the allocated budget. Baseline assessment had to be conducted so that we can prioritize within the priorities. We all know that the fiscal has its own limitations, the fiscal, and we have to make sure that as all departments are required to reduce their expenditure by 1%, 2%, and 3% for the next 3 years, we also follow suit regardless of how we started as a department. We've also agreed that there needs to be serious and continuous training on financial management for all staff members, including supply chain management, because this has been a cause of concern with regards to, if you look at the old findings, we are really struggling in SCM and also just simple financial management. So we have already started doing this. Treasury also, through the Accountant General, will provide technical support to the department, including the secondment of a CFO. We also agreed that the two political principals, the Minister for Women, Children and People with Disabilities, and the Minister of Finance, will have to meet. We also agreed that a turnaround strategy and plan has to be developed and implemented. We needed to appoint a suitably qualified CFO, appoint people in the critical areas such as finance, risk, audits, and asset management to make sure that we strengthen our financial management. Develop an establishment and expansion plan. Appoint an appropriately qualified DG, appoint an appropriately qualified CFO. Okay, this was an agreement that was reached a while ago, and there has been some progress to date. One of the things that we've done as a department was to put measures in place to ensure that we spend within the budget that we have. One of the things that we did was to reduce expenditure, our delegations when we travel, the number of people that travel, and the way in which we travel, and making sure that we don't appoint people without written confirmation from the CFO that indeed there is money available to fund this position, regardless of how critical it is. And an example of that is that we haven't filled the CFO position to date because we know we don't have money for it. But that has now changed, which leads to my second bullet, which says that to date through the AENE process, the department has been able to get an additional 12 million rand towards compensation. Please say, Treasurer will correct me if I'm wrong. It's not so something that you get all the time as a department, because yes, it is unavoidable, but it should have been foreseen. So we have managed, the Treasury has allocated 12 million rand, which will address the potential overexpenditure on the personnel that we had hired and we didn't have money for. But we've also done through the MCAS process to make sure that we can afford these people going forward. We've reprioritized our budget and removed some of the money from social services to make sure that we cover the employees for the next 3 years. We have also enlisted support from Statistics South Africa to support the acting CFO, and we have alluded to the fact that a serious skill shortage within the financial management, within finance as a unit, and also risk and internal audit. A CFO, an acting CFO from National Treasury has to date been appointed. We have an agreement with the accountant general, and Mr. Martin is here with us today, sir. A risk management support has also been provided by National Treasury, and they assisted us in compiling our current risk register, which internal audit and top management are currently going through to make sure that it's up to scratch. A draft turnaround strategy has been developed to make sure that we address the findings that AVE has raised, and also other issues that as management we should be able to identify and address going forward to make sure that we have an organization that delivers on its mandate within the legal prescripts that we are required to comply with. The technical assistance unit, which is within National Treasury, is considering developing an establishment and expansion plan. Like, they will give us support in terms of that. And what we have done in detail with regards to financial management, you will see that from the findings, we needed to have an up-to-date budget versus information. Oh, sorry. The one challenge that managers didn't know how much they had and how much they were allocated, and as a result, they felt not well capacitated in terms of managing the finances within their unit. And we agreed that we had to give them up-to-date budget versus expenditure information to these responsibility managers. And the status to date is that cash flow reports are available on a monthly basis. Managers are required to check and see whether there's been mislocations so that we can address this. Bank reconciliations are done on a daily basis, as this was one of the challenges that was raised in the management letter. Daily clearances of exceptions on the bank account and is performed, reviewed, signed off, and filed for audit purposes. Because one of the issues that we had was that we couldn't demonstrate to the auditors that we were doing this. So now with an improvement, we are filing our information so that when auditors come, we just give them the file. Also, monthly reconciliation on cash and cash equivalents are done and reviewed and submitted to National Treasury. Segregation of duties in respect of SCM, this was one of the challenges, and for the department to adequately address this, we needed to implement LOGIS, locus is the whole word. Logistical information system, the transversal system that all departments use for procurement processes. Now, it requires that some functions are performed by certain individuals and no one has a dual function. And because of capacity constraints, we had a challenge on this. It also requires that you have special equipment to make sure that you have automated orders to avoid corruption. And the government is now addressing this. I know we are now waiting for the printer. I think it has arrived. But the one thing that we need to still do is to finalize the appointment of a logis administrator. And with the current 12 million that we have received, we'll be able to address those challenges. We also needed to make sure that we have a complete and accurate asset register, and it should be implemented on logis or a similar system, because initially we were using a spreadsheet and we had problems just with regards to audit. As they said, it's open to manipulation. Here as well, we need to recruit a staff member to make sure that this person is responsible for loading of all our assets on the system and do asset management on a regular basis. Formal training, workshops on financial management, as well as I've mentioned, to date we have through Palama at least sent about 60 officials on a 5-day extensive training. And the training, it's not an attendance-based training. People get assessed at the end, they get given a task, then they must write back, then they'll be certified to be competent. What then remains to be done, Che, is that we need to finalize the strategy. The turnaround strategy that is sent to you is a draft document which is being finalized, and we foresee that by the end of this month, everything will be in place. We also need to review and finalize financial and supply chain management delegations.
First bullet by end of October.
Yes, sir.
Don't paint yourself into the corner, because this committee is not a real, it
will
follow you up if you don't do it.
It
must be realistic.
So we're saying the draft turnaround strategy, the document that we have with you now, it's a draft document, which is still being consulted internally. Right? So the analyzing of that document. Right. But so we can live with end November.
Oh, there we go again. Why did you say that?
So we have, we're not going to release. No, the minister is on our back on this. Actually, she wants all to finalize in 6 months. Yes. The whole process, not just the drafting of documents. Chair, establishing financial procedures and manual for financial management by December. This is one of the issues that was causing a lot of headaches for us, Chair, in the sense that AG was saying there are no processes in place, there are no controls, you don't know how to make sure that you don't know whether you're going to comply with TSNA or not, because you don't have policies and procedures in place. And also, come audit time, when the auditors are around, you run around looking for information because you don't have your audit file ready, you know. So these processes will assist us in also making sure that we have something called month-end procedures. Yes, that will assist the CFO say, by month-end, what is it that I need to have done? What processes and what documentation, and any files that are with? And this will assist a lot when it comes to audit time. Also, we need to finalize the recruitment of additional HR, finance, and SEM staff members to make sure that we don't repeat the mistakes of the past in terms of compliance to Public Service Management Act and the Republicans Act and the PFMA. We also need to review and update the register and incorporate it into LOGIS, the asset register, as I had mentioned earlier, that currently we're using the spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet. And the training also on of staff on LOGIS by December 2012. Our staff members, as we speak now, Chairperson, are continuously being trained at CETA on LOGIS, but it's a phase-by-phase training. And as we get more people on board, these people need to be trained as well on LOGIS. Training of staff members on surveillance account management to make sure that we don't sit with funds saying that surveillance account not accounted for or not allocated. Training of senior end users in SEM by March 2012. As we know that...
By March 2012.
Sorry, set in check. Yes, sorry. And appointing a GC, ASAP, appointing a CFO, ASAP, developing an establishment and expansion plan before the end of December this year. We want to highlight, Chair, that there is still an outstanding decision by SCOPA, the Committee on Public Accounts, on the 3.7 million of unauthorized expenditure that we incurred in 2011 and the 22 million over expenditure that we incurred in 11-12. What we want to alert to the committee is that the methods that we put in place now to make sure that we spend within the budget might be compromised by a decision of the committee if the committee decides to condone this expenditure without funding, because then it would mean that we would have to fund it within our allocation. So then again, it's 3.7 million in the red. So we just want to have the 22 million will be dealt with next year. Yes, so it will affect our budget. Otherwise, that is the position right now, Chair. I just, John, we are great that John will also add, and I don't know if the committee will be prepared to just see what the financial situation looks like.
I just want to add that the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities has submitted to the National Treasury requests for additional funding in year within the 12-13 financial year and over the 2013 FGF period. And these requests are being processed by the National Treasury. The acting DG has already, mentioned that there is a recommendation to Parliament coming that 12 million rand be provided in support of compensation of employees in the air. So that's one process that has yielded an outcome presently. And then we're still waiting for the decisions of the Minister's Committee on the Budget ultimately to inform us how much we recommended over the 2013 MTF period.
No, it's fine then. Honourable Member, this is your report. The time is 12:37 or something. Honourable Farr, can I just note here that would like to comment on the report? I'll start with Honourable Dr. Van Dijk, Honourable Mashiko, Honourable Farr, Honourable Ramachandana. No. The meeting is our meeting. You're not invited here to observe.
Oh.
You're invited here to participate. You understand?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, honourable members. My first concern is on the time frame. If you look at page
page 10. I mean, the department has come up with the time frame, but as to the finalization of the turnaround strategy, there is no indication of time frame. Actually, she quoted two different time frames. So can we be rest assured of the exact time frame when it comes to here? And then the second one is just
I'm sorry, Chair. You colleagues from the department, I want you to listen to this question.
If you can repeat about the requested funding and also reaffirm this 12 million, whereby yesterday we were told that it was 19. Can you please reaffirm it? Which one is correct?
Okay,
Honorable Dr. Okay, just want to order the Honorable Chair and the other members of that committee receive this turnaround report, because all the time that's are in there.
Let us address this one. I think Honorable Members are saying that this document is distributed, but it's written confidential on it.
Yeah.
Should
it
be
received
by members,
or... That was
going to
be my very first question.
Was it distributed on
table? For the committee. For members.
Of the committee. Okay, Honorable Muller, you want to...
Yes, please, thank you.
No, I heard some people that I have noted, including yourself, starting with the Honorable Dr. Fanetti. Yeah, I'll come to you.
Chair, I want to speak on the confidentiality. I just want to speak on that one. Yes, Chair, I also have a document that I've worked through that was marked confidential. Now, I would love the department to tell us why the turnaround strategy document is marked confidential, number one. Number two, I am sure that we have extra role players that contribute to the turnaround strategy. But also, I think that we're on the turnaround strategy now, and the confidentiality. Were those role players informed, or were they involved, and did they also report on their issues on the turnaround strategy? But please, the department must tell us why this is confidential, because I feel that the budget that the department gets comes from taxpayers' money. And when we are asked about how the budget is being spent or why we have all the problems, we need to at least be able to speak to that or to tell people why it is that this department is not performing. So I cannot see why it is marked confidentially, and it is a worrying factor to me that this turnaround strategy is marked confidentially. Thank you.
The department will respond to the question, but I understood the SNPG to be saying it's a working document. That's why we are raising this question as appropriation, that why do you give us a document that you're still working on?
Yeah.
And the person, Honorable Ramudile, says there's no date for this. So, because if you bring it to the committee, it end up being a public document. But the department will respond for themselves. Honorable Dr. Fanik.
Chairperson, thank you. I'd rather just to make more a start for comment. Chairperson, I would just like to make a comment. Of course, the presentation said exactly what went wrong, etc., etc. But I'm convinced that what remains to be done on slide 10 will not cover the areas of concern as mentioned in slide 3. You know, all the problems can't be ascribed to the absence of an accounting officer and the absence of a person in control of the finances. Mm-hmm. It is actually, if you look at the report, you know, right through the department, in each and every directorate, in each and every program, there are people who must be trained, who must be on board as far as the principles of the Public Finance Management Act concerned. I'm glad to see in slide 10, you know, that there will be training and etc. But my comment that I would like to make is to set target dates, like very early, in November, it is next month, December, you know. There's no way that you can resolve that problem in 30 days or 60 days. I would rather see that as an ongoing process as well. And to let the DG explain to us, you know, how they foresee in the next financial year, how they're going with an ongoing process to address these concerns, and not necessarily, you know, end them by certain target dates. Or this is not target date, this is target month, you know, it is around the corner. So I would like to see that that we have a long-term strategy to address the process. She mentioned, you know, this is an organization that will have to grow, but we'll also remember that yesterday we said there must be a sunset clause, a new department, new established organization, and so it's an ongoing process. You can't say by that day I will finish that, by that day I will finish that, because next year they might come back and say, sorry, we didn't comply to a certain month. So it's just a comment from my side, you know, we don't want to hear that there is a turnaround of CFOs and a turnaround of DGs and accounting officers. And a turnaround strategy itself, you know, it reminds me of SAA that also mentioned this new turnaround strategy. When I was in public enterprises since 2004, every year there's a turnaround strategy. I mean, there are now 20 turnaround strategies. Now they can start to choose which one they want to use. So the word turnaround strategy don't impress at all. We want to see an ongoing process of training, an ongoing process of control, and people who take the responsibility. So this is just a comment from my side that we must not just stuck into a certain date, but see it as an ongoing thing.
Thank you, Dr. Person. It's quite some time that we agreed in this room with the two departments that they work on the financial management problem. But what we don't see is that what's working on these things, because their page 4 just says will. We thought maybe they'll be saying we have been working on this and this is how far we have gone, especially on financial management. That we here is someone that we are already training to fill a certain post, especially at of financial management, because the financial management started by mere submission of some documentation, but they don't refer to all those basic issues that they could be telling us that you already have this in place. It's just what they will be doing, which doesn't sound very well according to their page 4. And they are what is happening right now, referring to the 10th million, and what are they have supported someone, a CFO. We don't know until what time. And then we also had people from SA. What skills have they already transferred to the people who are in this department if they already have them? And my concern is when the presenter, the acting DG, said to trying to justify why the money that will be given to them should not come from their allocated funding. That's what they should have thought when they started employing out of their framework. They employed out of their framework, which was unauthorized. And now this money must be funded somehow by the very people who use this money unauthorizedly. Because when they went out looking for those people who wanted this lot of money, they were aware that they can't afford that amount. And I think the problem should be solved within the department as they had allocated the funds. So I think we'll look at that one. And what this discourages is that Mr. Tembe talks as if this money is already waiting for the department to receive, which is very much concerning. Because we are in the process as appropriations. We need to know. We can't just be told that appropriate this money when we've been having problems with a particular department about their expenditure, which they personally refused to respond to our queries when we said, let's see how we come to this over expenditure. We begged them and begged them to understand why they overspend. Right now they say they refuse the delegation. We asked for a report so that we should understand, give us the breakdown of luck, this extended trips. They didn't bring it. Even now they've reduced it, we don't know from what to what, because we wanted to know what is the delegation, so that today, as they say we've reduced, we must know that by the way they reduced from this number to this number, so that we must be listening and understanding what they are saying.
The chairperson is having an agent meeting at 1, because the last meeting was started too. She is released.
And we think during whatever they are saying, because they mentioned SCOBA, I think from SCOBA they have some concerns, opinions from the AG. If we can know how they were also addressed within their responses, because right now what they are saying is causing concern, because they say the document is a draft, but here we are talking about serious issues, and the 30 million, the care, whether it is what they are telling us, or is the 19 million. If we can get the real facts here, because we assigned this duty to the two departments because we believed in their ability to address our concerns as a standing committee on appropriation. And we thought we could get answers that addresses what our concerns were. That they tell us that we think this is what is wrong, these people don't qualify for this money, because Mr. Embe even told us that argued about their expenditure right in here, that they told them on several occasions that they shouldn't be spending on what they don't have. But for National Treasury to be now pairing with them and begging for adjustment out of their own allocation is what you won't understand. I think we need thorough explanation on why it should not come out of their allocated funding. Thank you.
Now, thank you, Honourable Members. But I would like to say, Honourable Members, my understanding is that I'm not preempting what other people are going to say, but I want to assist us to say, you know, when we saw the problem, that was a problem, then we said to the department and treasurer, go and work out the problem. I thought that we would say to ourselves, what is it that we think that is will not work, or what is it that they need to improve on. I'd really like us to try to, we know the problem from us. We know the problem from the first plan and everything. We know there were problems. Now, the two departments are saying, presenting to us today, that this is how we intend to turn the situation around, is how we intend to do so. Now, my understanding of this meeting is to say, are we happy with this turnaround? Where do we see the gap? Or something like that. If we think that there are gaps, we identify those gaps. If we think that whatever we want to comment on, we do so. But related to this turnaround strategy, I just want the committee, the House, to assist me as well in terms of that. Honourable Mashiko, Honourable Ramasagana, Honourable I'm sorry.
No, 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 sorry. We're not finished yet.
No, I'm sorry, commenting, and maybe you said to me you wanted to address the issue of the confidentiality of the document. Or you're going to speak about the point of call.
Okay.
Thank you, Jay. The situation is that when the acting DG dealt with her presentation, thank you very much for the presentation, and what remains to be done, she had discussed everything, but then the one thing she skipped there was implement the findings of the Flaxman report. Now, who Mr. Flaxman is or Mr. Flaxman, I really don't know, and what is in that report, I really don't know either, and I think it's something that the committee should get hold of so that we know what's in the Flaxman report. So, you know, it might be something that we don't like or we do like. This confidential document is no longer a confidential document because it's now in the public domain. I don't see a draft written anywhere on it. But it is a much more comprehensive document than the presentation that we had this morning. But with many more due dates and finalization dates for all the aspects of the turnaround strategy. And I just want to make this point here, that this committee, as far as I'm concerned in any case, will hold the department to that. And we'll make sure that those measurements are actually done. Now we, as an appropriations committee, what we normally do is we check on expenditure. But I think that we should insist here, and this will be my recommendation, that in future reports to this committee, the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities also tell us how far they've managed to progress with their their turnaround strategy in terms of the due dates that they're given in this report.
Okay. I think there's a misunderstanding of my comment. I mentioned her name. Wow, okay. Come again.
Just want to say something before I leave here. I think I also want to welcome this presentation by both departments. It was something that we asked them to do and eventually done. The only thing that I'm not sure of, I think they must commit themselves, both departments, on the date that day. Because you have March 2012, now we don't want you to come back tomorrow and say, in fact, you realize the members that we made a mistake and say 2012, meaning that December also was not right. So before you leave here, you must commit yourself to those dates that are there. I want to hold you accountable on what you are telling us today in this committee. Even if that document does not say draft, but you are saying that it is on record that the document is a draft document. That's what you have told us. On the question of 12 billion, the target of this committee is to know, I think we want to see figures, because we are more concerned. While we have asked you to go back and come back with a joint report, it's because we want to deal with the question of overspending. There's no understanding. Overspending is sitting of funds. Now you need them to make something special for us. If you say you want more money, you must also tell us the history, what went wrong. As Honorable Mashego is saying, that we have asked you a number of times to do the breakdown, but we also understand the difficulty, activity that you are in, because there are changing of guards now and again. So when you talked about the breakdown, it was not yourself, and then later on it was another acting DG, now it's you. So I think from now on we hope that you won't see another person acting. I know that that is not on your control, it's not in your hands, but it is a problem, because if somebody else comes back and acting, another strategy is going to come back and say, because you've been feeling us differently, that's the problem. Let's hope that it's the last, yes. In any case, you know, that's a swap from the A who's being appointed. That's all that I want to say. We can only talk about 12 million when we know what happened in the past and what is that you're going to do to stop what has happened in terms of understanding. You are saying we can come, we can allow them to come back anytime if they can have that thing, that breakdown of that budget, as what happened and what is that and why do you want this. Then I think we can talk to them. At this stage, we don't know what informs that 12 million, because you also don't know what happened, why did you overstay in certain areas. So, that's all that I want. Otherwise, we are still sitting here with white gloves speaking, because we understand your position, but you have committed yourself to do. Thank you.
I had my hand up, sir.
You have both of you had your hand up. Okay, you speak to six to five.
Oh, no,
thank
you. No, Chair, thank you very much. There's a degree of uncomfortability which I don't understand.
With whom?
I don't know whether it's coming from the table. Or where does it come from? But can I make my point, please?
I'm saying from this side of the table, you are protected.
Oh.
Yes, from this side, yes.
Now, sir, let me just say, I have a long list of questions, but I'm not going to ask them all.
Please.
But I do have them. So, the first thing I just want to ask, I mean, the acting DG was here the last time. We asked some questions. We ask that this information should be provided. Why are they refusing to give us this information? State question. Why we are not getting it? Then I want to get into the, you know, the slide number 10.
Sorry, Honorable Matagana, I might be making a mistake. I know that we have been asking the department, as Honorable Mashiko was saying, for a number of documents that we never was recalled, not even one document in the staff. But I don't remember that maybe you can remind us which document exactly we asked for, that I can also know.
In fact, we asked, there was a discussion the last time she appeared here, and we asked a question. There was also the issue about the over expenditure, the unauthorized, and the detail thereof, and the whole thing about the traveling and the detail thereof. We were talking to the acting VC directly. She was here. So let me leave that. I just want to know why they are using this information. So, okay. Treasury is here, and as we had agreed that they should get together. They have given us a presentation, and on slide number 10, they list there about 14 things that still have to be done. We ask them to go and do it, and to come and present what they're going to do. A comprehensive, on the slide 14, they say what remains to be done. Then they list 14 things that they need to be done. Key among which there is the appointment of DG, and they say as soon as possible. possible. I don't know what is the date. It's as soon as possible. I don't know what it means. In the language of financial year, it's just like throwing that I don't know. But then say, I don't know. Again, on that very side, they learn something, they talk about establishment, to develop this establishment. Now, I don't know, Treasury can also help us. Is it the case here of money following the functions, or the functions following the money? What are you asking us? First, people are there, functional work, you don't have the clarity about the establishment. You want the money in order to create the establishment. Is that agreed? But now, you want another 12 million rand that is now requested to be made. But on this bullet here, you say you're going to finish this thing of the establishment in the 30th of after Christmas. The 30th of December, you're going to finish this. Then probably then you'll know, but you already asked the man for money. It's a very, very strange situation that is functioning here. So I can go on and on and on, and I mean, on slide number 4, we said the two ministers must meet. I mean, you could have told us when you were here. I mean, this issue about the department, both departments, the problem in overexpenditure is an executive problem. It is there, they know it, and they see it every day. All I'm trying to point out to you is Mario has made a presentation. We know the document has been presented, the draft document here, but you have shortchanged us. I must say that straight up front about concretely, including the concretely around the issue of the self-establishment. Now, is it sustainable if you are going to continue the pattern in which you are continuing to get the money, 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 but you don't quite know exactly the detail of what actions, what you're going to do with it, and the stuff that you have to put. I mean, how do you have a department of function without the accounting, the CFO? You second man, and you say, we'll appoint them some other time. It's as soon as possible. Is there no plan? Or is this hinging on the 12 million rand that is in question? We have not been told that. Whether the 12 million is also going to address the issue of the appointment of CFO that has not been appointed, and therefore you fear the appointment time that is used, rather use CFO from other departments is already been budgeted for while you are looking for budget. Talk straight. Let's get three language. Is this part of that? So that we know before we reject this because we gravitated towards that, but if you speak straight, we know that we need this important to have a CFO, and therefore it must be appointed in the department, and if you don't have the money for, then the money is the 1 million and a half is from the 12 million that you're asking, say so. Then we agree in terms of that. So that's all I wanted to say. But as I say, I do have a list of questions, but I'm going to suspend some of them because we did warn that the meeting is at 1.
You're sparing us some questions. Okay, no, it's fine. You still want to continue? You're covered. Honorable Lola, I've been looking that hand for some time.
Thank you.
Now is the time.
Thank you, sir. I also have many questions. Many, many questions. And I'm not playing for the media. I think I need answers on my questions, but I'll only pop three now. My first one is also on the 12 million that Treasury gave to our department. I remember, if I could remember correctly, in last week's meeting, the minister said, spoke of 19 million. So I would like to know what the correct amount was, and why do we have different amounts here from Treasury. And then, I think the gentleman from Treasury so said, it yielded outcomes, the 12 million. I would like to know, we have, and the main reason for overspending was on the admin programs. If we are keeping those officials that were appointed on higher notches, how will this affect our overspending? Because if they are on higher notches than they ought to be, they will keep on overspending. So I'd like to know the impact of the overspending on this 12 or 19 million, whatever. And then I'd also like to know what function, if, I don't know if I'm out of order now, you must now help me here, Sri. I'd like to know what is being difficult for me to understand is why these people were appointed on these lodges. And that is why my question is, what is the role or the function of the minister when senior officials are appointed in the department? I would like to know, does she play any role or is there any function that she needs to adhere to when officials in senior positions are appointed? And you know, the situation at this point in time in the department is scary. It is a very scary situation because senior posts, members or officials in senior posts are leaving the department. The deputy spoke on the fifth CFO that was appointed and also left. I know for sure that we're only 3 years of we in our fourth year now. So why does this happen? Why do so many senior officials leave? I know that some of the official senior positions left and they went back to the presidency. At the end of this month, the Advocate Pilar is leaving. She's also a chief director. Why are these people leaving? Is it because of the notches that will now be lowered, or what is the reason?
Honorable Mula, you are really exercising your right to speak. And that right is what we call the granted to you. But you did indicate that you prefer that right by saying now you might be out of order. These are the officials who don't appoint the DGs and what. Now we're asking them to answer some questions that is not really within their own ambit. I think if the minister was sitting here, we could direct the question to the minister, why did you appoint that first DG and what? Some of the questions we might be directing to the wrong people, you know. But also, I have requested that if we want this meeting to finish me by 1:30, that's right, we just to deal with this. Some of the issues, historical matters, that's why I requested that, please. We know. That's what we're trying to do to help
Let us do that.
Assist this department to stand up rather than going back and back. May not what to call it achieve what we want to do. It's really my appeal, honorable members.
All right, Chair, then I'll save my questions for something else. But I want to repeat that some of these things that are now, as you say, has happened and they caught things and the department must be helped to go forward. You know, the foundation is not right. You will not be able to move this department forward. You have to rectify the wrongs that were done. And you know, nobody wants to speak on it. You cannot get to the main reason why this department is in the mess that it is in. And it will stay like that because, you know, every time we just cover up. We don't get to the root of things. But I'll be quiet on that one. Thank you.
I think it will be good if this member Lamula kind of the same questions. I think it will be good if he can raise it in their committee. But the thing is, I want to draw your attention to this document, and I think we received it, well, I received it this morning.
I thought you were raising one point of
I think I'm the next one.
No, you're not the next one. I'm really appealing. We didn't invite the department to come and report on all the other things that we raised. We invited them to address us on specific issues. I think somehow, you know, I don't want to be seen to be protecting the department. I do not want to protect the department. I have nothing to gain, but I want us to address ourselves to what we invited them for. If we could address them on that, I'm really open. Honorable Mufulo, Comrade Reblom, Honorable Fanameze, Honorable Snelu Zibelasson.
Thank you, Chairperson.
But please, let's not repeat some of the things that have been said. Now they've started repeating already. So, I will not be disrespecting you if I'm saying that one has been covered.
I allow the other members to raise questions that have already been raised. Please raise new questions now.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Over to your comments.
Chairperson, on 12 million, when I look at their strategic document, it says it comes from goods and services. They take 5.8 million from goods and services to come to compensation. But my question is, with the last report in terms of the expenditure, say, in terms of goods and services, they didn't have money is overspent. So my only question is to understand where this 12 million, that the 5.8 million that the department, the president is advising them to use, where does it come from? And the second question is to say, I become very concerned when you say a manager does not understand or know his or her own budget. If you can see, look at the turnaround 0.6, you will see to say, then it becomes very serious to say, and I think I'll come with Honorable Lamola to say, people are on senior positions, but they still don't know their own budget. They still have incorrect bank cash information statements, and they are sitting there. It becomes a serious challenge to say, who have we really appointed? So, I mean, I'm just talking on their strategy. That's what I'm asking questions from, because I don't know. I'll leave it as this. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, I think I must turn out of this debate, but I just want to draw your attention to this report that we received. And if you look at this report, and I'm not here to protect the department, protecting myself, but if you look on page 14, to assist us here, yeah. From page 14 to 34, if we have time and we read the document, then many of our problems, I think, will be in a certain way, will be addressed. And as I say, it's a pity that we didn't have the time to go through, but I think that will assist us a lot. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, thank you very much, Chair. I think I would conclude with the Honourable Member that if you do go through the turnaround strategy, it actually gives you most of the time frames, etc. My only concern is, and I just want to highlight this point, I think you've spoken to this issue in our committee, that when I asked, for example, about the filling of the critical vacancies, the answer was end of November, but hopefully before the end of the next financial year. So I just want to just say, when we talk about the time frames, we need to be very clear and specific. So the issue of the time frames are very important, and I think, you know, even though it says your target is in between 12, I think the answer was hopefully by the end of November, maybe end of December, otherwise by the next financial year. So we need to be clear about the target. Then with regard to this document which we received today, which we didn't get in our committee, I would have liked to see the findings of the Flaxman report in this document, because I think the big elephant in the room is the Flaxman report, because the Honourable Member asked about the situation with the DG, which I also addressed in our portfolio committee meeting, which is contained in this Flaxman's report, because the Flaxman's report, if I can take members back to the last appropriations meeting, which I attended with Mr. Singh, we had specifically asked about the allegations of mismanagement, fraud and corruption, and this report speaks to that issue, and it implicates certain individuals, which then relate to that question. So I think it's integral that those issues should have been raised in this presentation as well, because it speaks to not only we need to be able to align the turnaround strategy with whatever issues were raised in the Flaxman's report. So I thought that was a revision on that part, on their part. And that's about all I wanted to write. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I'm asking that we don't align ourselves with the Flaxman report now, because when you look at it, the Flaxman is actually the company of Artemis. And when you view this, we find that this Flaxman report and from the side of the DG is in court, that there are two lawyers on both sides. So I think the issue is still subject here. We should not talk about the Flaxman report until the court has made its judgment.
So can you please not discuss?
The Honorable Sagi, the department will discuss this with me or not. But, Honorable members, the department must report.
Yeah.
But, I think that we didn't see this document that they were through that in. The topic says, this is what remains to be done. You know? No, but you have seen those things that remains to be done. You see, that some of the things, they have done certain, the certain work that needs done, and those, on these areas, page 10, is what needs to be done. But I don't want to, what you call it, to speak on your behalf, and it's a premier, and it's a demo. Please, some of the questions were related. You don't have, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Boy, I come at you. I wish it was said by you yourself. You know, I'm sorry, I forgot you. Yeah, some of the questions are really interrelated. No? You don't have to go through the questions one by one. No? Yeah. Okay.
Yes, if I could respond in relation to the 19 million rand and the 12 million rand.
Yes.
The request that is coming to yourself for approval, right, is in total 19 million rand. 12 million rand is turnaround related. 7 million rand is for the lease of the building, which the department had to lease because the new deputy minister was appointed for the department.
I think Mrs. Lamula should listen to this one because that it was her question actually. Take your
time. Mrs. Lamula?
I'm listening, my darling. I'm listening.
Yeah, because the new deputy minister was appointed outside the relevant adjusted ethnic process. So money has had to be provided in here and also over MTF for additional space that the department needs. So
you know, you're speaking high language of treasure.
Yeah.
We're asking a simple question. How much is going to be allocated? Is it 12 million or 19 million?
So the turnaround, it is 12 million.
Yes.
Okay. That is turnaround related. And then for the building, it's the 7 million. If I can expand a little on the 4 million itself. This is the support of compensation of employees that, because of the contracts that were entered into, right, you know, have to be met. We know, okay, they were only brought into the department and it shouldn't have been done, but the fact is government now has an ability which it needs to meet and an obligation. So a part of that is to meet those expenditures. And then a part of it is to bring in additional staff in the finance, supply chain management functions of the department. When the department was established, these are some of the components of the department that should have been treated as a priority, but were not. And therefore, the turnaround does need now to do the right thing, to correct that mistake.
Okay. Thank you. You know, the department knows that, you know, we overspend. And part of the reason is that I think, you know, the Tony at the top, you need to have, you know, the management that, you know, ascribes to good governance. And that seems to have been lacking. Yes. So, and that, you know, that will have to be corrected. We can have, you know, procedures and policies in place, but if you don't have the right tone at the top, we're going to change. And of course, we talk of the PG who left the department, the call is no longer there. But we finish with quality, you know, these things, quality and procedures are, of course, you know, some of the challenges that the department has. And we deal with policies. These things, these policies and procedures are available in the public sector. You know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. And I don't know why Justin Expert was not doing it before, but in the process of having all the things necessary for the policies and procedures. Capacity is important of the people in finance. That is we are addressing. And not only capacity, but the skills. So we need to have the right skills. And that's why we put the money that we requested. I talked about the policies and procedures that we have put in place. The other challenge, of course, is the issue of managers not necessarily managing the budget. That results to expenditure. There's never been that thing a regular communication to finance and that thing and the cabinet as to what's available, what can they do and not. Now we've got that thing systems in place to on a regular basis, and that is bi-monthly inform that thing the department, I mean the budget managers of what's available, and this needs to be signed off, and this will ensure that there is no that thing over expenditure. Obviously, we've improved on that thing on the month end, you know, procedures that we need to do in finance to show that, you know, we reconcile and sign off, you know, the reconciliations. You know, all this is in place, and this will help. Thank you.
Look, that comes down one level in your responses to our level, so that there shouldn't be follow-up questions. You know, because if you're speaking too much at high level and you're being philosophical about this thing, what we need here is direct answers, you know, so that we don't get back to say this was not responded to. The time is 1:30 now. I thought that it would be done by now, but I will ask the indulgence of the members. SNCC?
Thank you, Chair. With regards to the marking of the document, we'll change the watermark back to draft, Chair, and we'll move confidential. And with regards to the questions that the committee had asked for.
Don't be too fast as well, because people will still seek for the clarity. Don't they will move deeper than that, but if the question is this document a public document, or is it a confidential document?
I think that's a question. However, I mean, we didn't want to create an impression that there was a ghost turnaround strategy. We have been working since early this year. I mean, June, I don't know how far we started, how far back I don't know. And so we've been working here on this document for a while. The reason we mark it confidential is because, I mean, as far as you know, that you need to protect the distribution of documents. And if you read the document, you actually see that the intention is to make this public because we want to also engage. There is a provision there for a media plan so that we can communicate and say, this is what the department is doing. Okay. So, that's the question. With regards to the question, Chair, that the members that the committee asked previously, we would like to apologize to the committee. The responses are ready. They are ready, and we will provide them to the Secretariat. on this topic.
I hear someone say it's wet.
by end of today, sir.
Oh.
Because they have run excels, that's the problem. I can call it to the actual report, but they run excels, and I'm not sure if we have all the answers.
We want the documents by Friday.
By Friday, then we are back in the office. Yes, thank you, sir.
Yes,
and we are not going to detail on the flaxman's report as the honourable member has stated, but we can just say the less contentious issues are that they pointed to weaknesses in our policies and our recruitment processes and everything, which is what we are addressing currently.
or subjugate document to the Appropriations Committee.
I know that we have said it with the portfolio committee. There's also a problem with duplication. I'll just, we'll take the request forward to the relevant person who will facilitate that. Yes. Okay. Some of the things have been responded to me today. You will then find there is a process to get people to answer the questions, because already everything that the report is one side of the story, but there could be another side of the story. So with the turnaround, we apologize that we said it late, but really, as when we look through it, they will see that what we have done is to sit down and think, what is the problem? Why did we get where we are? And that is not a one-step process. You can't just sit for 30 minutes and think up the problem. It's a continuous process, and we agreed with AG that for us to have an effective and sustainable turnaround, we have to do the assessment process properly. So as and when we engage, as and when we try to resolve some of the problems within the department, we discover new problems. So as I said, the turnaround involves us identifying what the problem is and saying, how is it going to be fixed? As acting CFO has now said, some of the things are quite simple things that should have been in place, you know, because we have other sister departments that we can copy from. In government being highly regulated, you find that there's a lot of prescripts and templates that you must just follow. So we are trying to fix that. And also what the committee needs to know is that it turns around for it to be successful. You can sit and be all intellectual and identify the issues according to your knowledge, but it's a people-based process. You need to change the culture, you need to change the thinking, you need to bring everybody on board. And we know that this is not a something that you need to negotiate as such, because compliance is an obligation. But you need to make sure that we're all on the same page as those 200 and something employees within the department. So hence we need to be careful in how we craft it, we bring everybody on board, and they actually own the document themselves. Where are we with regards to the appointments? We advertised the two positions, and the process, Minister is currently involved with that process. And you will accept that even though we put time frame, and we say when are we going to fill the positions, but it also depends on the candidates that you are interacting with, the ones that you end up recommending. You know, so it's very difficult to commit, but what I can tell you is what has happened so far in the department. Yes. we've protested, and I mean we've gone through the CV and the process itself.
So we wouldn't have qualified.
The minister has made, I think in our presentation, that the member is correct that we've probably short-changed them. We've probably short-changed the committee on what has happened. The minister, our minister and the minister of finance, deputy minister of finance, have met. They've discussed the issues. It has been a frank discussion. And the turnaround and boys political support. And also, Lisa also met with AC more than, I think, four times last year, discussing these very same issues. So there is, we also agreed with AC that we will now report to the minister on a monthly basis on where we are with regards to addressing the findings and also on the turnaround. The 5.8 million, where we got it from. Initially, we looked, because when the 5.8 million was identified, it was in June last year already. We looked in our current allocation from goods and services and reprioritized. And because we sat down and said, how much do we need in order for us to support the people that we have? And we said 5.8 million. Then we went to the programs and said, are you prepared to sacrifice so much? And then people gave us whatever they could give us. And so that's where the 5.8 million came from. But then the additional 6 million rand talks to the critical position that we need to still appoint to make sure that we strengthen financial management. Okay, I think I've answered most of the questions.
It's a recommendation.
The deputy spoke on the AG assisting this department as much as four times with the minister and top officials. They also told us that, the AG's office. Yet, they could not adhere to the issues that was raised and that was highlighted in preventing the situation that we are facing now. Now I'm going to recommend now. They have now this wonderful turnaround strategy. They are very optimistic about things. They have extra money in place.
We must support them.
No, it is not possible for the AG to keep on supporting them for the next year. We have a couple of months left for the term. If this department is to succeed, and if this department is to be called the Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities, bearing in mind that they need to service the most vulnerable of our country. That is my request to this. If not, I can swear to this that next year we will be sitting here again. And we'll still have the same problems. Because once you've overspent, you must really put your head to it to get into the real budget spending.
Honorable Amut, it can't be prophets of doom. If we want this department to succeed, it can't be us to say that. We have National Treasury. They are working with National Treasury. National Treasury is the one that what this report is saying. That is fine. Chairperson?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to talk again to the breakdown of that, is it 3.7? To say that the committee is busy now with the ERM report. And surely, we really need that information for us to complete our report before the end of this week. Because I do understand the appendix so much, but if we look back as to when was it supposed to be said, really, I don't think we can wait longer than that.
Thank you, Stephen. Acting DG, do you have anything to say now?
We are pleased that the meeting has taken place. It has moved that far. But I think that as a committee, I have your mandate now, the portfolio committee. We will support, we have to support the department in the economic we, I think that there were some of the questions that you didn't talk about, so I'm sure the response to, some of the questions. I know Honorable Mashakana raised a question, after you raised on the side with the compliment of the staff that is incorrect. You inherited it, you have no alternative, or you responded, you said you have an obligation with the same responded. You have an obligation, why is it you correcting it? You have our support, because I think that honorable members, it's not all gloom and doom. And if you look at the first quarter report of National Treasury, this report of National Treasury, we didn't invite for the first time. We didn't invite you. We have customers that we invite because the ability here is showing that there is a turnaround. You know? It is not there yet, but it is showing that there is a turnaround. That's why I'm saying we really need to support them. But in the turnaround that you're doing, the Honorable Mola, I agree with on this one. That this department, you're dealing with very sensitive community, part of our community. So we can't afford to compromise your services to an extent that we're making the department difficult to function. The minister was very passionate, the RTA here, saying if there's a delegation of fact that is required, some people need to be assisted and whatsoever. There's no way that somebody who needs assistance, you can say, well, go alone without that assistance. You can't avoid that. But I think that you said earlier that some of the activities were duplicated. And where delegations need to come from other departments, those departments must pay for those delegations. It can be the department that will be responsible for that. Honourable members, I think that for now, we have addressed the department has come to us and says, look, these are the challenges. And the SNP is saying, this report is saying that it identifies the challenges that they have, but it also identifies, does not only do that, it identifies how they are going to move forward to address these challenges. And we think that you're not going to be able to address these challenges overnight, as honorable members said, but we will support you in addressing them. On that note, we're looking forward to meeting you on the adjustment. When you're talking about the $1 million, it looks like it has been approved by the House before we even see it. But thank you very much. Honourable members, thank you very much. Honourable members of the Appropriation and the Portfolio Committee on Women and Children, you are invited to our meeting tomorrow starts at 9 o'clock. We're dealing with your people, by the way, the NYDA will be here presenting an annual report at 9 o'clock, not at 9:30. I'm joking. At the meeting starts at 9
o'clock. Thank you very much. 2 o'clock. I'm 2 o'clock. She said 2 o'clock.
One is called on
Facebook.
Second one.
Yeah.
No. Thank you.